Blog Talk Radio.
It's gonna be a big heartbreaker. Grandma needs a new pacemaker. And the doctor says, I realize she's ill. But there's talk of legislation on all our medication. And maybe all we can do is put her on a pain pill. Oh, me. Hey, Congress, you vote Obamacare. We'll vote you out of there. We the people have awakened to your tricks. You vote to let this pass. You be out on your knees. Cause we the people have awakened. And to put it in words you might understand, if you had the common sense that God gave a billy goat, you'd no doubt notice that your constituents, the electorate, that's us voters, are on to your pork barrel special interest tax and spend scam. Or to put it more succinctly, we've heard from Hannity, Beck, and Limbaugh. What you got in mind for Grandma? We found this O'Reilly fella on Fox. We're kind of like Joe the plumber. And when we crunch the numbers, it all adds up to voting you out at the ballot box. You vote Obamacare. We're gonna vote you out of there. We the people have awakened to your tricks. You vote to let this pass. You're gonna be out on your... Cause we the people have awakened. And to put it mildly, we're harboring feelings of extreme alienation due to copious amounts of horse manure that have been shoveled out of the White House and the Capitol building, and we sense that we are being royally defecated upon. Yeah, we're getting the impression that you think we are not relevant to these proceedings and dismissing our input into the situation. And please tell Nancy Pelosi we're gonna do the hokey-pokey. Put the right ones in, pull the left ones out. You vote Obamacare, we're gonna vote you out of there. We the people have awakened to your tricks. You vote to let this pass, you're gonna be out on your... Yeah, we the people have awakened. And you might want to start looking for another line of work. How about the medical profession? Yeah, they're going to need everybody they can get that'll put up with the red tape and the pay cut. Hey, why don't you kill every last job, tax every last penny, and infringe on every last God-given right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Because let me tell you, ain't nobody happy with you. We the people have awakened. And it occurs to me that you might really like it down in Venezuela.
All right. Cinnamon, you're on.
Yes.
What? Whoa, what was that? Hello.
I just said hello.
Oh, cut you off, it sounded like. All right, we have Lorianne. Get Lorianne. Lorianne?
Hello, hello, happy Saturday to y'all.
Yes, pretty good, pretty good. Is everybody doing good? I hope. Anybody want to answer?
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Hanging in there.
Cinnamon, I know how you're doing. Lorianne should have answered that. You're hanging in there, Lorianne?
Yeah, hanging in there. Nice distraction. I've been kind of bummed out the last few days with my almost 18-year-old cat passing away on Thursday night. And
I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Happy birthday, yeah.
No, that's terrible. I know.
Yeah, my Kiana girl.
Mike passed away. He was 19, and it's tough. Let me get Pianki on. Pianki.
Hey, Donnie and Laurie. And
hello, Pianki.
Hi, Catherine.
How you doing, Cinnamon? Laurie, I'm sad to hear about your feline heading up to cat heaven.
Yeah. That's sad.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. She is probably one of the best cats I've ever had as far as being well behaved and just rarely got into trouble for anything. Like, she learned from the other cats really well. If they got in trouble for something, then she's like, okay, note to self, you know, and she just wouldn't do it herself. So she was a really easy cat. And she is my lap kitty, always my lap kitty since she was a kitten. And so, yeah, I really miss her. It's I'm still like, you know, I get up, I walk out into the family room, and just a habit I look for either, you know, on my chair on the couch, you know, my feet on the couch or on her kitchen chair, one of her two places she was almost always at. And so, yeah, I'm still in that habit of looking for her.
But she
passed away, you know, probably the best way she could. I tried to, you know, I had a very little sleep for a few days there, and she seemed like she might bounce back again because she gave me a couple of different scares over the last couple of years, but she bounced back, and she seemed like she might bounce back again, and then boom, you know, she took a pretty big turn for the worse, and I just knew that she wasn't going to bounce back again. And so I did all I could to take care of her. And the only time she like yowled, you know, was when I had to get up for something, you know, she just wanted to be near me. She wanted to be in my lap. She wanted me to hold her. And so that's pretty much what I did. And when it was her time to go, then, you know, I just told her I loved her and thanked her for being such an awesome cat and that it's okay to go and, you know, join my other fur family that have crossed the Rainbow Bridge, Coots and Puddles and Spikus dog, who was my good friend's dog, my good friend that died of cancer almost 9 years ago now. His dog, Spikus. They were buddies. So she was greeted, I'm sure. It was just a sad day, you know, 18 years, almost 18 years. That's a lot of life changes and stuff that she was with me for. Adjusting.
I understand that. What else is going on? Something happened in Portland. They're doing something in Portland. I seen it, and I cannot remember what the hell it was. I probably could find it though. I thought maybe.
What aren't they doing in Portland? You have to be more detailed.
I know. What else? Definitely. Arizona got some good news though. And Carrie Lake and her election.
What is that?
Well, I'll play a little bit of this. You know, she went to the Arizona Supreme Court, and she won her lawsuit.
Mike Lindell, it's a treacherous time in world history. We have an illegitimate regime at the head. That's why this is all happening. Why is Arizona a big deal about turning this thing around, sir?
It's the biggest deal, Steve. Yesterday, with them ruling that they can look at the signatures, there's over 100,000 signatures there that we think are bad. And Carrie Lake, they say she lost by 17,000. But it's a big deal because the judges actually, this is a win. They said, hey, you got to look at this. Instead of kicking the can on standing or sanctions and all these things, this is huge, everybody. And I've been telling everybody, the judges will bring this country back. We've got to keep praying for them, pray that they actually be judges and they look at this and go, well, gee, it says here you can't do this. It's against the law. But here's what we do. It's very easy. It's very simple. We got to go back to following the laws. This is a huge thing. Absolutely huge.
How many, but they fought this, and this is the one they came after Carrie Lake criminally. They're so freaked out about the signature verification. The 17,000 votes is what separates it. What scale are we talking about questionable votes here, about the unverified signatures, sir?
Yeah, it's over 100,000. It's like 105,000. I just checked on that before I came on. And how it takes or what's the process from here? You know, I don't know that, but I do know this. Those judges could have just said, you know what, we're going to kick the can. We're not going to look at this. Instead, they did and said, hey, there's something wrong here that was done wrong. And this is a system failure, Steve. This is a massive system failure. And we've got to give credit where credit's due. This is huge that those judges made a decision. We're not going to kick the can. We're going to push this back, and you're going to look at these signatures, and we're going to find out. The truth's going to come out, everybody. The truth has to come out. This isn't just about Carrie Lake being governor anymore. This is about our laws and our Constitution and judges looking at things and saying, here, you did the, you broke a law. Here, over here, here's what we do. And so this is – I was so happy when I heard this last night, and it's all over social media. It's all over. You know, Steve, you wonder what would happen if places like Fox actually started reporting these wins now that are going to come rolling in every day. We just had another county and go to machine free in Florida yesterday. We've got so many great things going on around the country, and it needs to be reported.
By the way, I don't think they have much. I don't think they have much interest in Carrie Lake or reporting this. Talk to me about the launch of MyPillow 2. Tell me about launch of MyPillow 2.0. Last night we were up so late on the show.
Okay, we don't need a commercial. Anyway, that's good news. I don't know. I don't know what that would do if she wins. that would be amazing. I guess she would take office.
Well, yeah, somebody probably needs to go to jail.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine that was a state Supreme Court judge, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Well, by the time you find some judges that do the right thing. But
yeah,
I don't have as much confidence in these judges. I think that these Supreme Court judges, you should have Supreme Court judges should look at a case and give their opinion and send it back to the state and tell the state, you know, we looked at this. We looked at this and we think there may be a problem. And let the state decide. And if you're going to rely on Supreme Court judges as we are now, then each state should appoint one Supreme Court judge, and they need to figure out a way to break a tie. Because the way it is now with these politics and these presidential elections is based on, well, he's going to get to appoint some judges that's going to rule out. No, it's got to be better than this. And right now, since 1930, the Supreme Court has become second constitution, and that crap got to stop. It's totally ridiculous.
Well, damn, Bianchi, I was feeling pretty good. Now I don't feel good at all. Damn. You take the fun out of living there, buddy. I think that's a huge win. I understand what you're saying, but until that happens, I don't trust the judges either. They are making policy from the bench, and they have been for a long time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. You got the Supreme Court, you got the courts, the judges, then you got the head of these agencies, whether it's the IRS, whether it's the EPA, whether it's the AFT. They are also, based on their lopsided, haphazard interpretation of laws. They are making rules that are decimating your constitutional protection.
That stuff needs to stop. Yes, absolutely it needs to stop. You're damn right. But until, you know, Roberts, he can take them right off the bench, can he? He can get them fired. He can take them and suspend them or fire them. I don't understand why he sits back and lets these judges, especially Sullivan in Washington, D.C. This guy makes his own rules up. But Roberts lets
him
have it. Yeah, he is.
If another one is in Missouri, I think his name is Mim. He made a ruling the other day against Missouri legislature. Here it is. And federal judge allows Missouri ban on enforcing federal gun laws to stay in place while state appeals. And this is an Obama appointee, a black judge. And I wonder if he was one of those diversity, inclusionary, affirmative action appointees. I mean, you got to call it what it is. When you sit, you know, so much of this going on today.
Right.
If you board a plane and y'all sitting down and got your seatbelt on and you see the crew get on, and if the crew is all black, you got to be wondering. I mean, honestly, I mean, it's true. You got to wonder if you're going to stay on there and get the hell off.
Yeah, I agree. Doesn't matter what race you are.
You want somebody to achieve that level based on merit and capabilities. Not giving students, spotting them 310 points before they even sit down and start taking the test. It's ridiculous.
I agree with that all the way.
In this case in Missouri, you got sheriffs and also the state legislature say they're not going to enforce these federal rules that's unconstitutional. They're not going to do it.
Right.
Sheriffs are already saying that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sheriffs are saying that, especially down in the southern border region. They're getting overran by these illegals coming through. They're overworked. I don't know. And by the way, Lorianne, you had a wonderful show last week. It was great. And by the way, I talked to Big Kathy two times this week, and she's probably listening. And then she gets a chance, she'll call in and say howdy. She's doing, since she's been drinking that alkaline water, Lorianne, I think you suggested that to her. Okay, she is now completely off of all medicine for her leukemia. And the doctor said if or whatever, white blood cells or whatever in the hell goes down to between 10 and 5, he would take her off of the medicine. It went down to 9, and she stopped taking it completely, and she kept drinking the water. So she went back. They checked it again. It went down to 8.4 without any medicine, just drinking that water. That's all she drinks is that water. So, yeah,
nice.
I
that's
told her,
awesome news.
She
must be feeling better, too, as a result, just because of just being off the meds and you know, her body, you know, obviously being better. She must be feeling a lot better, too.
Yeah, that stuff was really making her, you know, just blah, didn't want to, you know. Had to force herself to do things and just wore her out. So, yeah.
Well, I hope she gets better.
Yeah.
I hope she gets better and hurry up and come back, because I don't know how much longer we can hold out without things getting real close.
Well, see, if she gets a chance, she'll call in. Yeah. She's pretty. She She's wore out. She really is. She sounds really tired. It's a lot of work. But anyway, I told her I was going to mention that because I think you're the one that mentioned alkaline water to her.
Yes, I did. Yeah. It does make a difference. It absolutely makes a difference.
Well, it did. At least we think it did in this case. Nothing else was working. And this did, so.
Well, you know, you can buy those machines and put them on your faucet, and that's it. Too expensive.
What did you just say?
I said she can buy those alkaline water machines and put on her faucet. And they're not that, too expensive.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Water come in off your faucet, then it takes out of one outlet comes the alkaline water, then out of the other outlet comes the disposable water, which is yellow and every other color.
Yeah.
Looks like acid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she can dial it up as high as she wants.
Well, hell, I didn't know that. Okay, I'll definitely let her know that. Definitely.
My water filter pitcher, which is alkaline, but also removes fluoride and all kinds of other, you know, heavy metals and everything else.
Uh-huh.
I just use that. But, yeah, they do have whole things where you can, you know, do the pH water. You can outfit your faucet with it and all that good stuff. And so she should check that out. I always go to Quality Water Filters for You. Four with the number four, Quality Water Filters for You. Their website, and they have every kind of water filter under the sun that you can imagine. I swear, so that'd be a good resource to have her check out.
Oh, okay. Cinnamon, did you get that? I'm sure we'll check that out too.
Trying to type it in again. It's Quality Filters for You or Quality Water Filters.
Quality Water Filters, number 4U. Yeah.
Okay.
I can grab the website, too.
Then they got
and
those
send you the link.
Then they got those machines to take the water right out of the air. Maybe about 3 or 4 liters a day. And they take it through a ultraviolet. Raise to kill a whole lot of stuff. I don't know about the alkaline level, though, but you can check. It works.
Yeah. Well, till somebody tells us different, I'm gonna say definitely it works. Well, there you go. Anyway, she'll try.
Yeah, I sent the link in our group chat on Facebook, and then I also sent you a video that I just watched today too about. Some studies that were being held back from being released by our man that's now a woman, what's her face?
I don't know her name
about
either.
About fluoridated water and studies that have been suppressed. And so I sent that video also in our Facebook group chat.
How long
if you want to play it on air, great. If not, then that's fine too. But, you know, give it a watch.
Okay. How long is it? The tape.
Let me see. Yeah, 13 minutes. But you wouldn't have to play the whole thing. You'd pretty much get the gist of it, you know, within a few minutes.
Okay. I will, and that's Facebook, right?
Yeah, in our Facebook group chat.
All right.
In the description for the video, it says a report from 2022 was released last week, and it indicates that there is no safe level of fluoride in the water supply and that it can lower IQ levels in children. The National Toxicology Program report was written in 2022 but was blocked from publication by Assistant Health Secretary Rachel Levine. and it goes on from there. So pretty interesting. And I just happened to, I was doing some, you know, research and stuff like in prep for my show tomorrow night, and came across this one. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to have to, and since we're talking about water, alkaline water, and then I told you I also, the water filter pitcher that I use also filters out about like 95% of the fluoride. And so this is going to give you yet another reason to get a, you know, in your pure water filter, your Brita, those don't remove fluoride. So you have to get something that removes fluoride. And here's some evidence that hopefully it can encourage people to do so.
Okay. Very good. I will, I think BTR sent me a email. I'm trying to find it again. They're still charging me way too much.
Yeah, all I was wondering what's the latest on them. Because they should definitely be applying that 50% discount like they said they would.
Yeah, I sent.
Be able to backdate it.
I saved the email they sent me, and I pasted it in the their little chat. And they say, well, they'll be with me in one day. Well, it's been a week, almost a week. I don't know what the problem is.
I wonder if they're laying off some of their tech people, too. That seems to be the trend lately. And
yeah.
It becomes more and more noticeable.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
And I know because, you know, yeah, when I contacted BTR support, it same thing, like a long delay getting a response back. You know, delays unlike any other time, like when I had an issue with them, like maybe even 6 months ago, you know, they were pretty responsive getting back to me on stuff. But now, you know, lately it's just been, you know, crickets.
Well, they might. Might have laid off people. Who knows? Disney's laying off a lot of people.
So is Amazon. Amazon just laid off a crap ton of people. Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Microsoft, same thing.
Yeah, it's what something's going on. Something definitely is going on. I don't know what.
Bank failures, higher interest rates, the inflation costs.
yeah.
All that stuff. Oh, and what we're seeing now, I predicted, you know, I'm like, hey, 2020 is going to be a really bad year for jobs. We're going to be looking at layoffs. I predicted it last year. And now being proven right time and time again.
Yeah. That is true. I'm going to Facebook now. I'll go there and get this going, I think. What
no
else?
Problem. And thank you for tuning in to my show last Sunday with Holland Van and Newman Off. He makes the job so easy. He's so great as a guest. I am like probably the shittiest interviewer. I just don't have very good interview skills, but he made it super easy, and it was so great to have him back on. He was just a wealth of information, and so I'm glad that you tuned in and enjoyed the show. It was fun. Definitely a fun show.
Yeah, very good. Very informative. I like that. Okay, what video did you send me? I'm trying to find it.
It should be the most recent one in our group chat.
Is it Candace picture?
No, not the Candace one.
That's
it is the We Are Being Poisoned Documents Reveal Fluoride Scam. I know we have like three different group chats going on, but I got the one that has like Dahl and everybody on it, the main one.
Okay.
And then I also did the alkaline water filters from Quality Water Filters for you.
Yeah, that's on here.
Yeah, so just scroll up one link above the Quality Water Filters, and then you should see the YouTube video.
Okay, it shows a man and a glass of water, right?
Yep. Yeah, it would be.
All right. Here we go.
Their bodies. Rachel Levine.
Whoa.
Is totally fine with that.
Hold on. They started right at
the light of day, and this is relating to fluoride. Biden health officials suppressed a government study that showed that there is no safe level of fluoride in water supply and that it can lower IQ in children and harm pregnant women. The only reason we know about this is thanks to a lawsuit that forced the Biden administration to turn over the documents. But first, just look at the places that do have fluoride in the water. This map is courtesy of the British Fluoridation Society. Fluoride in the water is a funny thing, right? The government says we need it to protect our teeth. And our teeth need protection because the modern diet is so degrading on teeth enamel and full of sugar and processed foods that grind down our teeth. It's a vicious cycle, right? So the government, in response to this, has decided to fix our food chain. Just kidding. They're not,
right.
They're not going to do anything.
Like,
of
instead
the
of all the processed food, we'll get rid of that. No, instead, we're going to mask it with chemicals in the water.
Yes, that's exactly right.
That's how we roll.
And, you know, there was never any real research on the effects of this. And now that there is some, the government is trying to hide that research about the possible negative effect of fluoride. A group called the Fluoride Action Network has sued the Environmental Protection Agency, or the EPA. The EPA is being defended by the Justice Department. So you and your tax dollars are defending this. You're defending their right to maybe hurt you and your kids. That's how it works.
By putting fluoride in the water.
Because we pay our taxes and the Justice Department is taxpayer funded. So we are then all in on protecting the EPA. We have to be. But in this suit, they sought for the release of a report called the National Toxicology Program. And here is the report in question. Why do we have it? Because a judge ruled that we should. The Justice Department had asked for this report not to be released, and the judge ruled against them. Prior to that, the report was blocked from publication by Assistant Health Secretary Rachel Levine. You may recall that Rachel Levine is a transgender person that says that doctors should be trans advocates for medical transition. So this person's A-OK with foreign chemicals in the body. We already know this. Here is the email in question where someone is asking, like, hey, we got a heads up from the NIH about this report coming out soon and fluoride and the, you know, effects on IQ. Assume you're aware. Do we need to chat? That is, you know, I think that that's masking, like, yikes, this is going to suck. We need to talk about it. To which this person responds, thanks so much. Assistant Health Secretary Levine has put it on hold until further notice. Like, we should be freaking out, but for now, it's been buried.
So Levine has other things to do. She's out getting Woman of the Year awards.
Uh-huh.
Too busy to release this report on damaging fluoride effects on children.
Right. I mean, you know, we've talked many times about the pharmaceuticals that are put in transgender children in order to treat gender dysphoria. It does not solve gender dysphoria. It only hurts their bodies. Rachel Levine is totally fine with that. So, yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, so back in like 2008, 2009, when I first started my journey, I started watching Alex Jones, and Alex Jones complained about fluoride in the water and was actually fighting his local government in Austin, Texas to stop from putting fluoride in the water. He was like, that was one of his big things back that long ago.
Yeah. Okay. I remember hearing about this years ago and wondering, like, oh, is there fluoride in our water? Then we got a water filtration system in New Jersey because the water was so bad. I mean, it was just, there were so many chemicals in that water.
Yeah.
As a kid, I think it was like, kindergarten or first grade, they used to give us in the school. And if anyone remembers this, I was in New Jersey at the time, a little plastic cup every morning. And they'd put like one little pink fluoride tablet in the cup and you had to like chew it and you had to chew it. It was like chalky And it was like the first thing you had to do when you got to school, have your fluoride tablet.
No,
that was
like,
we had that, but it was liquid.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I didn't have to do that. I remember when they started putting fluoride into water in the 60s. The lady that goes around, used to go around, she's passed away now, talking about Agenda 21. She went down to Spring Hill, Tennessee, and she was telling everybody about fluoride too. And Spring Hill voted to take it out of their water system. And she was going around. So they have been talking about taking it out, certain cities, but I don't know if they ever did. Spring Hill did. They voted to take it out. So I don't know about any other city. City. I don't remember anything pink chewing anything at all.
I do. I remember. I was I was pretty young at the time, but I remember them having a have like this pink pill.
Okay.
Yeah, and long time ago, but I vaguely remember it. You know, I was pretty young at the time.
Okay.
Growing up in Minnesota in the suburbs.
Yeah.
Maybe that was before they fluoridated the water or something. I don't know. I know here where I used to live in Tualatin, which is a suburb of Portland, they got their water source from a different source than Portland, and that water was not fluoridated. But now down here in Salem, the water source that Salem gets is fluoridated. So that's another reason why I got that water filter pitcher, and not just for me, but for my pets, because,
right.
For your pets, you know, who's out there doing studies on the safety of how much fluoride is safe for your pets to be drinking? So, I mean, I got it for them as well.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's good for you, it's got to be, you know, make it good for your pets.
Well, we do the same thing. We give the cat and dog the filtered water.
Yes, we do.
Out of the fridge. Yep.
They like that cold water. Oh, boy. CNN's Lemon. I thought he was about to start crying.
Every time that he's escalated the rhetoric, the response on Capitol Hill from Republicans, even the ones who are typically
Trump.
More measured about Trump, has been to circle the wagons around him. So these things really feed on themselves. When Trump sees the reaction to one post, the previous one, calling on his supporters to protest, and he sees that the only consequence of that had been that Republicans basically said, we've got to defend Trump, he goes one step further. And I think that's what we're seeing here. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what Alvin Bragg is going to do. But Trump is raising a lot of money off of this kind of rhetoric. And I think that he does not care if he does, in fact, spin up unrest. That's part of the strategy.
Well, he raised a whole lot of money by saying, oh, I'm going to be, you know, insinuating that he was going to be indicted on Tuesday, right? Raise money off of that. But this is really disturbing to me because he's been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
And I think we can't talk enough about it, where he's been calling these prosecutors who happen to be African-American, saying that they're racist. He called Alvin Bragg a Soros-backed animal.
Yeah.
He's turning to his old tricks here of, you know, being racist or racist adjacent,
yeah,
using that type of language for people.
Yeah, and as someone who's, I covered Trump for years, if you go back and you read his rhetoric, I mean, this goes actually all the way back to the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Trump has a very long history of calling Black people racist.
Or dumb.
Or using, you know, talking about Baltimore as being, you know, filthy, rat infested. The same thing with Congressman John Lewis's district, mm-hmm, in the Atlanta suburbs. So he has a long history of that. I don't know if we can even call them codes at this point, because I think that it's pretty transparent. But they are signals to his base, who are much more prone to see Black people in positions of power in particular in a racial lens, even though what the DA is doing at this moment actually has absolutely nothing to do with race. I think we've got to just stick with the facts here, wait for them to unfold and not get distracted by what Trump is trying to do, which is to rile up his base from a political perspective on this issue.
So I want to get to this. The Trump's defense attorney, Joe Tack.
All right.
That guy, and that woman are downright liars.
I think so. I think
you know, you can go back in the time and look at the things that Donald Trump done for Black people. Like when he put up Houston. What was the woman's name there in Chicago when somebody was killing the family members? He put this whole family up in his hotel and paid for the security. There's been times when you had like three Black males borrowed money from him to start a business.
Yeah.
And when the business started doing well, they came back to pay him back. And he said, don't worry about it. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. These people just like to lie. They are rabid liars. No sort of rabies vaccinations can protect you from these people.
No. You're right. You cannot. They just lie about him. And today, you know, I don't like some of the things he says. He called that Stormy Daniels horse face again today.
Well, she does.
Well,
her and George Floyd were both porn stars. What the hell are you going to, what else are you going to say?
Yeah. They've got a, I don't know if it's an affidavit or not, but she said that it didn't really happen. Trump and her never really happened. I don't know where that came from, and it threw a monkey wrench in this procedure. So I don't know if that's the smoking gun to get Trump out of this. He shouldn't even be in this. I mean, statute of limitations got to be worth something. I mean, it's past time.
When it comes to the racism, see, what's going on with Trump is pure racism. You can't describe it any other way. Name me one thing, and it's racism. I can show you where it's racist. If it was happening to a Black, it would be called racism.
Yeah.
The same thing happened to him. It's racism. He's going through racism. The same thing with those that's being held in the gulag in Washington, D.C. due to January 6th. They are experiencing racism.
I think they are. There was a discussion that Black people cannot be racist. They had a big debate about this. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, they can. Any race can be. Well, they took a vote, some kind of poll. Everyone said, yeah, if the races, the most racist people are Black people, and the Asians said the same thing. Spanish or it's Mexicans and of course whites said the same thing. Said Black people are more racist than any other.
They
race.
Are.
I don't know. I think they definitely are racist. I mean, they act like they can't. There's people that on TV, well, we can't be racist. We can't be.
Who's doing the crimes in the country? So if you associate the crimes in your, and we know where they occur, Black males make up, what portion of the U.S. population do Black males make up?
The males?
Males alone.
8%, 7%?
They make,
I think,
if the population makes up 13%, well, you would at least cordially get in half, so that'd be 6.5%.
Yeah.
Now, what percentage of that 6.5% is of criminal age? Well, you know everybody down below 10, although we have had some 10-year-old black carjackers in St. Louis. So if you took them out the pictures, then you took old men like you and I out the picture, you're probably down to maybe about 4% of the black male population that's committing all these crimes. They're committing over 50% of the homicides, about 30% of the rapes. White women that reports being raped, 30% of their attackers, they say it was black males.
Damn. Wow.
And you got the NAACP issuing a national boycott trying to get people to stop going to Florida as they did Missouri.
Right.
And it's just totally ridiculous. They accepted a $50 million donation from Wells Fargo. And several years ago, Wells Fargo was being sued along with some railroads and other banks for their implementations in slavery. It's just a bunch of bamboozlement, Donnie.
Well, yeah, white people won't say anything at all. And you're not going to hear that on TV. It's not going to happen. Seems like,
you
know.
Yeah, they let me on TV. You probably hear it one time. That'd probably be the only time. You better catch it fast.
Oh, hold on. Hold on. They got a way. Yeah, they lose satellite. The satellite went down. And we apologize. We'll try to get Bianchi back up in a few minutes. That's what
we're
down.
That's the same way. That's the same way they did when the one lady spoke at that committee hearing.
Yeah.
Fannie Lou Hamer.
Yeah.
And that lady, every time I hear her, she touches me. I mean, you can't get no more down to earth than her. But the networks cut her off to go to a speech by Lyndon B. Johnson.
Lyndon B. Johnson? Talking about a racist.
He called a speech that the networks covered. They cut her off, the coverage at the convention, so that the country wouldn't hear her speak.
Yeah, there's been a couple times on CNN. It I don't know if it happens on MSNBC, but on CNN, boy, that satellite will go down if you start talking the wrong thing. Oh yeah, it definitely goes down. Oh man, I don't know, Bianchi, if we're gonna get it. If we can fix it on this show or not, I don't know.
Well, no, you're not going to fix it total, but you can make a dent.
Yeah. Definitely make a dent. Oh, by the way, for the first time, we got to vote for president of our international, and we voted the incumbent out and put a new person in, and Sean Fain, congratulations. And first elected by the people, the UAW, first elected president. I'm very proud of him. We worked hard. He's been on our show about 4 times. Very good man. Thought I would throw. Go ahead.
I see some state governors are signing bills that's outlawing the gender reassignment surgery to young people under a certain age. I think Iowa was the last one.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They signed what the hell is it called? Something giving the power back to the parents like it should be. like it should be. That's it shouldn't even have to have a bill like that, you know. You shouldn't have to have a bill stating the parents have the right to their children and their well-being. Instead of hiding all these secret little clubs they're putting these kids in after school and getting them geared up to be. You know that jazz? Have you guys ever watched that show? What is it? I Am Jazz? It's he was a young boy. They started working on this kid at 2 years old. 2 years old. And at four, they interviewed the little kid. And she, I'm a girl. And mama's right there with her. You know, they've been on Barbara Walters and everything else. And she is having mental problems right now. She's having big problems. And I hope somebody's with her, because that's the kind of person that'll commit suicide. And it'll be mama's fault, because mama pushing it. Mama wakes her up in the middle of the night. She's 20. She was going to Harvard. She got accepted, so she's pretty smart. And mama said, I have to, what is it, Cinnamon? Stick something in her Yahoo and make sure it stays open, because it wants to close, because that's the normal thing. It's a male. I mean, it's trying to heal itself. And a woman, the mother said, if she goes to college, when she goes to college and she lets that grow back, I tell you, I'll wring her neck. And mama better be worried about her mental health. She said she doesn't feel like herself anymore. Because you're not. You're trying to be a woman, and you're not. And she's so depressed, she's put on, I don't know, a bunch of pounds. I mean, she's big now. She's really big. She looks like she put on about 125 pounds. So I feel sorry. I Am Jazz, and it's a TV. It's a reality show on, I don't know what channel, station. You guys ought to check that out. I Am Jazzed. Jazz, not jazzed. But a lot of these kids are coming out. They're not kids anymore. They're coming out. Some are suing their doctor. And I don't blame them a bit. They ought to start suing their mother and fathers, too, for allowing this crap. I showed Cinnamon these transgender people dancing for babies now. They're doing babies. And this place was packed with mothers holding babies watching this crap they were doing. I don't know what the hell's going on with these parents. How can they say that, think that's good?
Well, I see at the school board meeting there in Dearborn, Michigan.
Oh.
The people, that was a heck of a meeting there, man. The people came out. They were really pissed.
Yeah, they were. did you see the big white guy?
I think it was several, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, but this guy really, yeah, I mean, those Arabs were taking notice of this guy. He was pissed. He was mad. And so was, well, everybody in there was mad. And these people don't seem to care. School board folks don't even seem to care if they get voted out or not. Damn. Now, there was a comedian was on stage that said everything that Donald Trump has done for black people. And he goes, and now all of a sudden we hate him. he said, that doesn't make sense. We hate him. Why? Why do we hate him? He's not racist. Everybody calls him racist. And that's when he came out and said everything he's done by helping black community.
Well, he just can't come out and help any one particular community. He's supposed to be for all Americans.
Yeah.
Which they do to take advantage of. That dispels that myth about it's supposed to be one particular black nation in this country. It's not. They're United States citizens.
Right. Yeah. Now, he was talking before he was president. What he was, yeah. You know, the money he was given. And, damn, I got that tape somewhere. I don't know. I got so much crap. Anyway. Boy, Lorianne's being quiet tonight. Here's,
Yeah, I'm poking around. I got a figure out something to eat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it is dinner time. Probably too late to eat. What's wrong with you? You're not supposed to eat this late.
It's only 7 o'clock here.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Well, and I didn't eat anything yesterday. I just wasn't hungry yesterday, so I got to come up with something for today.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, guys, I gotta play this. Somebody
should be able to go to a school board meeting and not be called terrorist.
Hold on. Who sent me this? I can't find it. Anyway, it's just about the Bill of Rights, Parents' Bill of Rights. If I can get it.
What a friend in Washington.
Here it goes.
Well, it's an Aussie doodle. I have two Aussies, Teddy and Cass. You haven't seen my dogs?
I have a long time ago. I didn't know their names.
Yeah. Teddy Roosevelt and Johnny Cass. Thank you all for joining us. You know, the Republicans put out our commitment to America. And in our commitment to America, we said we were going to have a Parents' Bill of Rights. This is exactly what we just passed on the floor today. We're keeping our commitment. It's just another check off on all what we said we would do. The bill that Julia Letlow actually introduced in the last Congress moved forward to this Congress. And what's very interesting is that the Democrats thought it was too extreme, that the Democrats believe that parents shouldn't have a say in their kids' education and to actually know what the reading material is. Democrats believe that was extreme. Democrats didn't believe that in this bill we say parents have a right to be heard, that they should be able to go to a school board meeting and not be called terrorists, that they could have a say, but Democrats thought that was too extreme. Parents should have a right to know where their tax dollars are being spent in the schools, the budgets, but Democrats thought that was too extreme. In this bill, we protect the children's privacy. The data can't be sent around, that parents should know what they do with it, but Democrats thought that was too extreme. We thought parents should know if there's any violent activity on campus. Not just to your child, but to any, so you'll be warned. But Democrats thought that was too extreme. Today was a win for every mother, every father, but most importantly, for every student in America. You have a Parents' Bill of Rights now. But unfortunately, the Democrats are too extreme to believe that parents should have a say in their kids' education. This bill will go on to the Senate. We hope they'll be able to take it up. But this is a win and a change for America. We watched just a short time ago that the Biden administration would go after parents if they went to school board meetings just to find out what was happening. We watched a father get arrested at a school board meeting when his daughter was attacked in a bathroom. All that is changing today. You now have a say in your kids' education. You had to get the warning. there's any violence on campus. You get to know where the money is being spent. And you get to know what the reading materials are, and you get to protect your children's privacy as well.
How about school of choice? How about that? If you pass a bill like that, of course, you got to do it at the state level, I guess. Damn. Everybody says they want that, but nobody will go for it. They all run for it. You know, they're gonna do this and that when they're running for office. But once they get in, no, can't do it.
Are you scared of them teachers' unions?
Yes, that's right. You're right about that, Bianchi. Ton of money in these elections. They sure as hell do. You know, these people now are screaming in San Francisco, man. The woman that she's on the council, she voted to get rid of the police. Now she's screaming because her in her nice area of San Francisco, she's got the high-end people. They're getting robbed. Their cars are getting stolen, and they're getting broke into. And now she's raising hell. She wants more police protection for her, she said, her people. They can't live like this anymore. Well, you get what you want, and now you don't want it. Of course, everybody told every damn city that wanted to defund the police department.
Well, you know how they were taking down Confederate statues and taking the names off of buildings.
That's right.
Get this. You remember that one black comedian that was really, really crazy and funny?
I can name a few. Which one are you talking about?
First name was Richard.
Oh, Pryor, Mr. Pryor.
Richard. Yeah, Pryor's named after the Confederate general. In New York, you had a street playground that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played on. And one black player named, that they call him the GOAT, although he never made it to the NBA. His name was Manigault, which was also a Confederate general.
Oh.
The catcher for the San Francisco Giants.
Hold on, Benke. It just started playing. Go
catcher
ahead.
For the San Francisco Giants. His name is Posey.
Posey. You know, there's a catcher in San Francisco called last name Posey.
Yeah, he's named after Confederate General. There's another black separatist that had a large following. His first name was Malachi. Last name was York. He's named after Confederate General. The big guy who I really appreciate, thinks he's just marvelous, plays for the Los Angeles Lakers, graduated from LSU. You know who that is, don't you?
No. No, I don't.
Shaq.
Oh, Shaq? You said L.A. Yes. If you said Tampa, I might have got it. But,
Yeah, Shaquille O'Neal, another general.
One badass.
You had a singer. You had a singer that sung a song that you keep on using me until you use me up. Dum, 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 dum.
Yep.
Remember him?
Yep. I can't tell you the name. I can tell you, I can almost sing that song. I played it so many times.
His name is Winters. He's named after the Confederate general. Then you had five black young males came out of Gary, Indiana, became famous as a singing group.
Yeah, that's right. Jackson 5.
Jackson 5. Jackson, he's a Confederate general.
Yeah.
And then you had another black comedian. First name was Eddie.
Murphy.
Eddie Murphy. His middle name is, guess what? Reagan.
Reagan. Reagan. Well, I would have never guessed that.
Eddie Reagan Murphy.
I'd be damned. And that's something. Eddie Reagan Murphy. Damn.
Then, of course, you know, recently we found out that the little darling for the Black Panther Party, Angela Davis.
Poor Angela.
Yeah.
Poor Angela. I feel so sorry for her. She was freaking. Oh, man. I love it.
Yeah, both sides of her family were settlers, white. They had slaves.
Yeah.
Some
of
his
family here, please. They were one of the 101 that came over on the Mayflower. When that guy told
me. These people level all these damn arguments, and nobody says nothing. They don't even think. They just get bamboozled, fall in line. Start going to the bank, emptying the account, giving it out to some cause. And it's totally, totally ridiculous.
Yeah. I think we all got black and white are all mixed. Some's got more than other.
Yeah.
But boy. Now, do you guys see that trans person that was in a restaurant that went crazy when the poor kid behind the counter said called her, or it's a him, but going by a her, called him bro and sir, and this dude went nuts. You got to hear this guy.
We got this video from Clown World on Twitter. Clown World posts a lot of videos, and oh boy, another reaction video, but this one warrants it for sure. In this video, a trans woman goes into what looks like maybe a Popeyes and starts yelling at one of the employees because the employee called them sir. The employee denies it, and then all of a sudden, everyone starts losing it. There's fighting, there's yelling. I think you should see it so we can talk about the issues affecting society and the trans community, and also point out one very important thing for all of this. In the real world, where you touch grass, well, in this instance, pavement or tile flooring, regular people don't know anything about pronouns. And the reason I want to show this video is because people keep saying that the manager is like, oh, okay, sir, I'm sorry. And like, stop calling me sir. And it's like, okay, sir, I'm sorry. Oh, I mean, just like with Superman, remember that? Superman. It was a very large trans woman, discernibly biologically male, yelling at a GameStop employee who was stuttering and stammering, I'm sorry, sir, sir, don't call me sir, and then slapping things and yelling and screaming. Yo, that 20-year-old dude who does not live on Tumblr or Twitter does not know what you're talking about.
That's right.
When you say, call me at this pronoun. Let me play for you this video. So and we'll break it down. We'll go through it.
Here, it's like every single day, you guys, and this is what I complain about all the time. Look, what's his name? What's your name?
My name's
Alex?
Tommy.
Yeah, your name's Alex, and I'm gonna be talking.
He said my name's Tommy, and he goes, yeah, your name's Alex. Like, wait, what? I Anyway.
Here, man, this guy called me sir.
This happens everywhere I go.
He's saying, I certainly didn't. I certainly didn't. And the transports are saying, everywhere I go.
They got called sir. I'm so fucking sorry. Why would you call a chick? Big ass tit. Fucking. Why would you call?
Stop trying to gaslight trans people and tell us that we're crazy.
You need to fucking be mindful of other people and stop being a fucking scumbag and you're a liar. I heard you. Stop fucking gaslighting trans people.
And they're leaving, but then all the
time. Wait, what?
No, you went out.
Did you tell me sir again? What was that? You said goodnight, sir? Alex, I'm going to be talking to corporate about you, you motherfucker. Fuck you. Okay? That's bullshit. You don't fucking harass trans people at work. Yeah, you did. And I'm walking out and you're like, have a good night, sir.
Well,
what the fuck is that? No, you don't fucking do this to trans people. This is discrimination.
This is discrimination.
I'm fucking done with it.
Whatever, go cry.
No, I'm going to talk to corporate about this. You don't harass trans people. Hey, you know what?
Get out the store.
Hey, you
know what?
Stupid thing. Captain Karen.
I didn't even say nothing.
You called me, sir.
He's, I didn't even say nothing. Get out of the store.
And you're talking shit, calling me sir. This is transphobic harassment. You're a fucking bigot.
Oh, my God.
All right, Alex, you know what? I can't wait to just... He admits twice calling me sir. No, you lied about the first one. No, you called me sir twice.
I'm going to stop right here. And just say the person filming this is mentally ill. And I say that with empathy and concern. To go into a Popeyes and start yelling because someone used a word against you. Let me tell you something, guys. It's going to be hard to hear. But sometimes when I walk down the street in places like New York, I hear people yell mean things at me.
Okay. Yeah, this poor kid. Can you believe this? That's why people don't listen to these idiots that go in these places and start raising hell, cussing. It's crazy. All right. I'm glad I played that. Jesus.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say, you're right. It's like, it's almost like they want to go in there and just create attention, you know? It's like, why is it that being woke or, you know, like this is an example of being woke. It's not even just, it's not even about being transgender. It's about being woke. And why is it that all these woke people feel like it's their obligation to have a complete and total fucking meltdown over anything and anything that they feel offended by? You know, they can't just, you know, be reasonable and rational. They have to just be all, you know, up in arms and overreact. And, you know, this is kind of the whole woke culture example right there. And when you're in public, make a fucking scene. That is, you know, that is what woke culture is doing.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's why I tell you what, 4% maybe of Americans are transgender. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Not very many, but they scream and they get their way all the time. All the time. Everybody, corporations bow down to them. They take, Aunt Jemima off the pancake mix. Why? What does that hurt? And so, you know, that's somebody, that was a real person. Now imagine the family was pretty damn proud of that. Uncle Ben Rice, gotta change it. Because that hurts my feelings. I tell you what, if we did have a World War III and we started the damn draft back up, we'd be in a hell of a lot of trouble. Because they'd be drafting these sissies. And I'm telling you, we'd be in trouble. Me and Bianchi would have to get drafted to bail them out.
Yeah, we'd have to go down to the basement and pull our old attire out.
That's right. Oh, man, we'd be in so much trouble if we have to rely on these young people. I just, this guy, and it was a guy, but he did have breasts. He did have breasts. He could be proud of those. Yeah, he did. I don't know why people do what they do. Can't figure them out. Can't figure them out. Oh.
Yeah, this Braggs is getting all kind of death threats. Wonder why.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if he is or not, but I guess he is. I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. You know, I mean, he's doing something he shouldn't be doing. He knows he shouldn't be doing. He's getting roasted by everybody. I mean, God, these scholars are on TV just saying how stupid this thing is. And it's not going to go anywhere. It's just a waste of money. And all the people that he lets out of jail. And it just doesn't make any sense. And they took a microphone and interviewed people on the streets of New York. And they are totally against it. They said there's so many things going on in this city. Not they shouldn't be wasting time trying to hang something on Donald Trump. And I don't like Donald Trump, but this is not right. So, I don't know. I have no idea. Well, what do we want to talk about now? Okay.
Yeah. we're a bunch of hyper people.
There's just so much. It's become overwhelming. Like every week it becomes overwhelming and it's like this seriously, like seriously, this too. You know, I'm not going to talk about gun control tonight because that's going to be my focus on my show tomorrow night,
All right.
Which I'll plug it right now while I'm talking about it. Lucid Libertarian right. with Lori Ancho tomorrow night right here on Blog Talk Radio, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And it's been a while since I have focused a lot on gun control and. So there's been definitely recent developments that I want to talk about. And so I'm going to stay off of that topic for tonight because we'll get plenty of it tomorrow night.
All right. That sounds good. But you can bring up anything you would like to, Lorianne. Same with Bianchi, Cinnamon. I can see an early show tonight. I can see that coming. Can see everybody's up and at them.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just looking. I'm looking on. Really Graceful. She did a video today. The production of gene edited food is now legal in England.
And wow.
She gets into how a couple of years ago. They develop corn, a GMO corn for population control. So basically this corn is genetically modified to make your male swimmers not be able to swim. And so therefore it's like male birth control by eating corn. And so England just passed this kind of crap. And so, like, you know, there's happy news for you. So, I mean, and I still wonder about U.S. laws when it comes to labeling GMOs. Is this kind of genetic modification of our food something that is required to be labeled? Or can they just put this crap in our produce aisle and not even know that it's there? And will it bypass organic? Labeling, you know, all the restrictions on organic labeling, which is supposed to be non-GMO, but this could be a little bit different maybe. I don't know. So it's kind of, I just haven't gone down the rabbit hole of looking into all of the different regulations and all of the different laws that are surrounding the organic label here in the United States and what possible loopholes there are to get around that. There's a topic for you.
Yeah. Wow. Boy, if they're doing it over there, they're probably already doing it here.
Yeah. Right. And I think I'm going to look it up. But I do believe that GMOs don't have to be labeled as GMOs in the United States.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to check it out and see for sure.
All right. That's
To be organic, it's supposed to be, you know, to get that. I mean, people pay a big price for that organic label, and it's supposed to be non-GMO.
Right.
And yet, knowing how much money there is between big agriculture and our government, and lobbying efforts.
Right.
I'm really curious to know what loopholes there are and how they can get around it, because you know that they created loopholes for them to get around it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can bet on it. You can bet on it.
Okay. By January 2022, the FDA has required GMOs be labeled.
Okay, good.
But it's all they have to do is they don't have a big sticker, and they're showing a picture of one, and it looks kind of like a little bit of farmland with a crop growing, and it says bioengineered.
Bioengineered.
Yep. Jeez. They have to have a small seal or text that says bioengineered or derived from bioengineering. And as far as organic goes, organic is just using natural pesticides and natural fertilizers. So no chemical on them. So you can still have, a farmer can still grow GMO engineered corn, but if he doesn't use chemicals for pesticides or fertilizer, it can still be considered a organic.
Oh, lovely. And so I'm supposing, like, under the GMO, genetically modified, you know, it's like it's one term fits all, right? And so you don't know, well, what specific genetic modification was done to this, you know, piece of produce. And so would something like this GMO corn that will make men's sperm, you know, infertile, if that just is under that same category generically, and you wouldn't even know.
No, you wouldn't know. Well, that's a good way to thin the population, isn't it? Oh, man.
Kind of makes me want to secretly tested this out already. Pick a couple areas in the United States and let's go secretly test it. I mean, how many times has our government allowed that to happen, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, here's the loophole. Okay, there. Much of the labeling ends up on products that use GMO crops. Most of the corn, canola, soybeans, and sugar beets harvested in the U.S. are genetically modified. And I said, we make so many ingredients out of those particular crops. So like high fructose corn syrup being made with corn goes into a lot of foods. Okay. Said corn oil, canola oil, and sugar from sugar beets are basically stripped of the DNA in them. So even though the crops are genetically modified, the ingredients don't necessarily qualify for mandatory disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the USDA requires bioengineered ingredients to be disclosed, but not if the modified genetic material is undetectable. Oh, that's good.
Isn't that nice? Jesus. Oh, man.
Yeah, so your average person at home, of course, we all have our chemistry set to test our food to see if there's any genetic material in it, right?
Yeah. It's,
the average
it's like
consumer
when,
just has that laying around.
Yeah.
When you got the trans fats, you know, the partially hydrogenated oils that everybody's supposed to avoid, if it's below a certain percentage in each serving that, you know, the serving size, they say, they can put on there 0% trans fat. So if you see any label that says trans fats on it anywhere and says 0%, that means it's got it in it. Because other things that don't, you know, don't have that in it, don't put it, you know, wouldn't put that in their labeling. So if it says 0%, yeah, it's got it in it.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how they kind of try to get around.
I figure that's why Bill Boy is buying all the land. So he can grow all this crap and force us to eat it. If we want to eat anything.
Yes, mRNA vaccinations in your food. Population control, making your sperm not be able to be fertile. And then add on top of that, China, the Facts Matter did a video a couple days back. China's new ethnic-specific bioweapons target specific races based on DNA. And we know that China buys up farmland. So I wonder if China might be secretly testing some of these ethnic-specific bioweapons based on DNA, on races based on DNA. How much you want to know, bet that something like that is being put into our food? It's like, oh, okay, you know, if you're a specific race, then we can develop this corn that will make you infertile. But, you know, if a man from another race eats it, it's fine. Like, they can bioengineer it. So the combination of these two things together is really pretty scary to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, either way. It's not good. And I believe they're doing it or going to do it if they haven't done it. Absolutely believe that. I do not trust our government. None of it. Okay, somebody sent me this. I don't even know who this. Oh, yeah.
We tend to go back to old patterns. I have woken Jazz out of a dead sleep and taken the dilator and put the lubrication on it and said, here, you take this and you put it in your vagina. If not, I will.
See, this is what I'm talking about. At the university. Speaking of universities and speaking of young people, speaking of foolery, do y'all remember the young girl named Jazz Jennings? She transitioned when she was like 4 years old.
Someone asked me why I used to be a boy and now I'm a girl. I would say that I have a girl brain and boy body, and I think like a girl, but I just have a boy body, and it's different than you.
Is it okay to be different?
Yes.
You like it?
Because
why?
It's okay to be different because it just matters who you are. It doesn't matter if you're different than anybody else. It just matters if you're having a good time and you like who you are.
And the funny thing is that they yielded this girl, they held her in high esteem as an example of what transitioning can do. They're doing the same thing to D-Wade's son. They get these kids, they manipulate them into believing something is going to occur that is not going to occur. This is not the movies. It ain't what you think it's going to be. God made us this way for a reason, and trying to replicate or change genders isn't going to work out the way they tell you it's going to work out. Let me give you an example, and I believe parents like this should go to prison. Let me let you listen to what Jazz Jennings' mother has to say about her transitioning, because it ain't working out. Roll the clip.
Okay, we got a damn commercial. Hang on. Where she can't hear it.
But with her, I'm worried about, like, her mental well-being and her dilation. The minute she leaves my house, we have a dilation problem.
That is a concern.
When you don't have that watchful eye, they tend to go back to old patterns. I have woken Jazz out of a dead sleep and taken the dilator and put the lubrication on it and said, here, you take this and you put it in your vagina. If not, I will. But Jazz is bad, even when I'm home once a day. I will be so mad if she goes away to college and that thing seals up. I will wring her neck. Can you imagine?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying not to scream. I'm in a hotel room. Dilating. I don't know if you guys understand what that means. So when you a man, you have a you know what. And if they want to turn it into a woman thing, they got to cut it. I'm going to tell the truth because some of y'all need to know what you're going to expect. They're going to peel that thing open like a banana. Yeah. They cut it and they tuck it and they push it in there. Now, the thing is that the body isn't made to do that. So what happens is if you don't keep it dilated, meaning that you don't put something in it and keep it open, then the body is going to heal itself and it's going to close in on itself and it's going to, you know, pretty much try to like reconnect the tissue that ain't supposed to be open like that. And what happens is many times people have infections. It becomes, you know, sores and stuff on it. And then if you don't put something in it and pump it up to keep it spread open, it begins to contract and begins to reheal.
Jazz has had a very difficult surgical course. She had a very incredible first surgery. It went seemingly very well, but there were problems. And that prompted a second surgery, which I was not a part of, unfortunately. Yeah, this has been a real journey, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we knew it would be tough. It turned out tougher than any of us imagined.
Taking Jazz on as a patient for surgery, we knew it was going to be a one-of-a-kind surgery. She's one of the first to have undergone complete pubertal suppression and lack of growth of the skin and other tissues, which we rely on as surgeons to do this operation. And we don't have the experience of having said we've done 50 of these. I was just not expecting her to have a complication as severe as what she did have.
So for the rest of her life, she has to have somebody or herself dilate. See, when you're 4 years old, they don't tell you that. When you're 4 years old, you don't understand that's what it means to be a woman or create yourself as a woman. These people are ill to me. The parents are the problem. And already, you can see in the videos that we played, she's having regrets.
A typical morning breakfast, fast food, maybe a donut or two, and then maybe two bagels.
I don't judge her by that. I'm just shocked.
We're not putting butter on it right now, Jazz.
I know.
You need to chill right now.
No, you need to chill.
Even when we think we're doing something right, she falls off the wagon.
How much butter did you put on the pasta?
Put one tablespoon.
Guys, you measure it? No, that's not one tablespoon.
I do experience fat shaming from my family.
It makes me feel really humiliated.
Mom, I need you to get up. This isn't going to cut it at Harvard. I'm not going to be here to get you up. At least Greg and I are around to prevent her from oversleeping. What's going to happen when we're not around?
You got to really consider whether you could even go up to school.
As long as I get off my lazy ass.
You keep making empty promises. You're like, I got this. I can do this. I'm going to change.
I can tell you that it's different now because it's now or never.
It's
now or never at this point.
Prove it. Because you're all talk.
Oh, my God.
And I wish that they would tell these young people, and this is why we always advocate that you should not transition kids like that. Give them some time to grow up, to figure out what's going on before you push them into something that cannot be reversed. I hate to say this because I really am not trying to hurt people. people's feelings. You will never, as a biological male, you will never be a woman. As a biological woman, you will never become a man. There's no way you will become a man. There's no way you'll become a woman. There's a lot more to being a woman and putting lipstick on and a wig and a dress. I want people to understand that. Because when you're a kid, that's what you think a woman is. When you're a kid, you feel like you're fulfilled as a woman if you look like a woman. But then when you get older, being married to a man as a woman is something that young women look forward to. Having children. You'll never have kids. You don't have the tools to have a kid, at least not be pregnant. Being pregnant is another thing. Experiencing what it's like to ovulate, experiencing what it's like to have a menstrual cycle. All of these things are things that make women women that you will never identify with. You hang out with your young girls, y'all talking about all this stuff, you will never experience it. And unless you pay for this crazy surgery like this one girl, you will never experience what it's like to not have a you know what. These are things that they don't tell these young women. These are the things that they don't explain when they're giving them something or making them turn into something that's so permanent. And I pray to God that the mother is held accountable for what she did to this girl. There's a whole bunch of different young people. I can go down a list of young people who are regretting transition. They did not explain it. They were too young, uninformed, and they were sold a dream that's not even true. Now, anyway, I've been here.
Okay, that's Officer Tatum. And he's disgusted by the mother and the father, especially the mother. It looks like the mother is the one that is the force in the family. And, of course, you know, you get a TV show and she's pushing this thing. You know, they got to make that money. Feel sorry for
it's
that
girl. It's absolutely appalling. It's so appalling. I mean, these little kids, they don't know any different, you know. They're being convinced by their parents that, you know, they're not who they really are, you know. And it's even in Hollywood, it started in Hollywood. Oh, I had a baby girl. Well, I'm going to raise it as a boy from infanthood. You know, that's the parent's decision, and it's absolutely wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And that kind of normalized it, and now it's graduated to this, you know, I'm a parent. I should be able to get my five-year-old, you know, surgery to remove their genitals. You know, and
right.
I should be able to put them on hormone blockers. I should be allowed to completely screw up my little kid's body for the rest of their life, and nobody should have a say in it. It's like, I'm all for parental rights and everything, but, you know, the child has rights too. The child has a right to not have their own parents destroy them physically.
That's right. This is morally wrong, just wrong. And how many, and Officer Tatum, he's had videos on this. Just so many are now in their early 20s. They're miserable. They're freaking miserable. And they were four.
You gave the parents gave them a chronic condition.
Yeah, they started working on this girl, Jazz, at 2 years old. 2 years old. And then at four, you heard her at four. And they started, she was young, just a little thing. And they were doing all this crap to her.
Well, it'll be kind of a moot point going forward because I read an article. I've been trying to find it while you guys are playing that. They can change the male swimmers. And so the ones that will, like, say you want a girl, the ones that are a girl swim faster. They slow down the other sex. Which, if you think of China or any of the other places that revere the men and you know, discard the baby girls.
Yeah.
You're gonna have a world without girls.
Yeah.
Except if this whole trend of the transgender thing keeps going on, everybody thinking that they should be a girl, then they're gonna start deciding that they wanna have girls. And then there'll be a world without men.
Yeah, but they'll control it. They won't let anything like that happen. They'll just control it. I'm telling you, these parents should
good
be
God.
Put... I'm with Tatum. These parents should be in jail.
Well, no. Can you imagine having a baby and just adoring this little baby and then deciding, okay, I want you to... I'm going to put you through hell and then you'll be happy, but you'll have to, you're going to have this chronic disease that you're going to have to take care of like once a month. You're going to have to go, you know, go do this thing. But who really would want to saddle their child with, you know, say, I want you to go have kidney dialysis for the rest of your life.
And she was one of the first, if not the first, to go through this. And what kind of parent is going to, okay, you're the guinea pig. My kid's the guinea pig. I'm cool. She's going to be on Barbara Walters, and me and her are going to be stars. And that's exactly what the mother's doing, as far as I'm concerned. Oh,
good Lord.
Yeah, his mother.
Yeah, talk about designer babies, you know, and by doing that, and you're right. Traditionally, most societies have, you know, patriarchal societies, or at least histories of patriarchal societies, and we're, you know, it's still, you know, alive and well today.
Right.
And so, of course, people are going to want to design babies to have a male versus a female for the most part. But, of course, you have to keep some females around, you know, because we're the ones that, you know, get pregnant and have babies. So,
right.
You know, we're like brood mares. You got to keep some.
Oh, no, they're working on that also. I'm making artificial wombs that you can, that like in a hospital setting, that they can just grow a baby in an artificial womb, not inside a person.
Yeah, I read that too. Yeah, from fertilization to, you know, maturity, a synthetic womb.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong? How emotionally unadjusted is that kid going to be, you know, by not actually being inside a mother? You know, it's just like, let's just forget about all the studies that have been done on when women are pregnant and the bonding that happens with that child, you know, recognizing the mother's voice instantly from birth, recognizing music, you know, musical preferences, brain development, playing music and stuff helps with a fetus's brain development by, you know, encouraging the sounds and stuff like that. So there's all kinds of things that, you know, I just, oh, what are they going to do to these poor babies that are in these false wombs? What are they going to be feeding them, number one? You know, so it's not bad enough that there's a false womb, right? But, you know, there is such a thing normally as an umbilical cord. And so how is that fetus going to be affected by nutrition that's fed to it, you know, supposed nutrition. How is that going to work? And not only that, but our immune system, you know, the babies get the mother's immune system. So, you know, are their immune systems going to be nothing but 9 months of constant injections of vaccines of every kind? How is their immune system going to be built? I mean, I have so many questions.
Okay. Somebody just sent me this. I don't know who this is. I can't even pronounce their name.
At age 27, I am pooping in a bag. So tell me your name and a little bit of your story, because you basically had a TikTok go viral.
My name is Ryan James. I'm a 27-year-old trans male from Boston, Massachusetts. I started transitioning when I was 17, so I was considered still a minor. I had top surgery when I was, I believe, 19. I had a hysterectomy at age 20 or 21, and I had phalloplasty back in 2020, right when the pandemic started the day after.
Leftist spaces don't want to hear trans stories. They don't want to hear about people making mistakes. And that's an issue, right? Because we need to hear both sides of the story, right? There's going to be people that it saved their lives, and it's going to be people that it ruined their life. And that was what your TikTok was called, right? It was called Phalloplasty Ruined My Life.
If you're on your journey where you're considering getting phalloplasty because you feel like your body dysphoria is really bad to the point where you don't want to live life, please, 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 please consider other options before jumping into phalloplasty. And so, you know, the first stage, I was feeling okay. I got the actual phallus in May of 2020. Everything's broken up to pieces. And so that recovery, I was in the ICU for 3 or 4 days, a pitch black room. I was on morphine on drip. Obviously wasn't eating nothing, no drinking. I had little mouth swabs here and there, constantly sleeping because the pain kills put me to sleep.
A lot of people don't know this. Having a phalloplasty, so female to male,
yep,
bottom surgery is, from what I understand, it's way more invasive,
yes,
it's way more difficult, and it costs a lot of money, and it's possibly a lot more complications than male to female bottom surgery.
Correct.
And it makes sense when you think about it, because you're creating something that isn't there,
mm-hmm,
instead of just taking away something that is. Can you show people where they took the skin graft?
I saw a tattoo, like, this,
mm-hmm,
all in all, phalloplasty isn't for, honestly, I don't think it's for anyone with the way it's set up currently. They're not medically advanced. At least not in this country. Thailand does a superb job, but that's not helping you if you live in the United States of America.
I mean, Thailand is very, very, actually very good with trans people and trans surgeries. It's like the whole ladyboy culture over there. It's like a thing. It's just a thing over there. What are the top three regrets that you have now that you had the bottom surgery?
I want to use the word regret. I think the biggest, like, inconveniences since I had phalloplasty,
perfect,
would be the fact that I put my life on pause for a while. You know, in March, it would be 3 years going down to the hospital. It's made me stay in a state where I feel very, you know, alone, and to the point where it's kind of like, I don't have any friends out here. And then it's kind of like I had a lot of trauma growing up in this state.
What was the experience like going to these doctors? Because you said you were not well informed at all.
The consult, like, it was a little off, but, like, it was my first real, like, consult for phalloplasty. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't really know, like, what exactly I should be looking for to hear from the surgeons and so forth. So, like, the nurses and all that was super nice, very helpful. But I feel like the actual surgeon was kind of, you know, like, standoffish, kind of arrogant. I remember asking to see some of his pictures on, like, patients, and he hesitated. And so I think that alone should have been a red flag. But, you know, when you really want
I was
going to
say, rave the red,
right,
I don't have
right,
a red flag.
But,
I was,
you know,
when
you really, really want someone, or not someone, something in general, like, you look past, like, the ugly, and you're like, well, like, this surgeon's local. I have to fly to California for it. And so I trusted them just to end up in a place where, like, I'm not happy. Like, I don't regret transitioning at all. Like, I'm happy to be Ryan. Pronouns, misgender, and whatever, it doesn't really bother me. But it's just the fact that if I knew back then what I know now, I wouldn't have got it. Because, not to be TMI, I mean, we're all grown here. I got more action before I had this surgery. I feel like since I had this surgery, my, like, partner count has been super low. And to the point, it's kind of like, I don't even have full feeling. I was promised to have full feeling in 12 to 18 months. I might have 60% feeling.
And why do you think you had more partners then compared to now?
When I say partners, I mean sexual. My dating life has always been hard being trans, living on the East Coast. I'm not as picky as I used to be. But at the same time, I refuse to settle.
So it's not a bad thing that you have less partners.
It's not, but, you know, I'm a really affectionate person.
I was going to say, but you are a guy, so you want
it. Well, no, I say affect. I mean, like, you know, like,
hell, I don't even know what the hell they're talking about. Either he liked it, or if he had a chance to do it again, he wouldn't do it. But since he did it, I want to know what if he was a woman. Now he's a male with a dong. I want to know if he has any feelings down there. Can the rascal get a little, you know, stiff? Get a stiffy, morning wood, and all that stuff. All that good stuff a male, regular male has.
Something tells me not so much. I just don't believe that they can surgically replicate a sexual organ such that it's fully functional as if it's natural. I'm very skeptical.
No. Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
No. Here's, this is the lady, man.
Oh, you guys couldn't hear me. I'm sorry.
What's that?
You guys couldn't hear me. I kept trying to tell you. And this is a while ago, like a long time ago before this got into the trendy stuff. If you turn into a guy, there's a pump.
Oh, yeah,
you have to pump it up.
Okay. Then you use that when you have a prostate surgery. Yeah, you get a pump. I got you. Now, does it, do they, you know, come, have an orgasm?
I would assume you could probably still have an orgasm. You just wouldn't produce any fluid.
See, you never hear, I don't ever hear that part of it. I don't know. I think Pianchi and I talked about this person a long time ago. And I became a transgender, and here's why I regret it. And this is a old man. He's an old man.
I lived 8 years as Laura Jensen until I woke up and realized that it was totally insane to live this out. The first time that it happened in the 50s was Christine Jorgensen, but Jenner took it to the next level. And then 2015, it began to explode.
Are you a woman?
Yes, for all intents and purposes, I am a woman. My brain is much more female than it is male.
Ladies and gentlemen, the courageous, the stunning Caitlyn Jenner.
We're ruining an entire generation of children. I find even hearing about it and reading about it so repugnant and so destructive to children.
Trans members of this family all love each other so proudly, and they all...
Bringing drag performers together with little kids is kind of a perfect relationship.
There are people whose gender might be a little bit of both or might even be neither.
And it's time that this stuff needs to end. We need men and women to step up and say, stop this nonsense.
Boy, I agree with him.
I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California. You know, my upbringing was pretty much a typical California upbringing in Los Angeles in the early 40s. It wasn't really anything remarkable, at least not until my dad began to take me over and drop me off at my grandma's house. Grandma was a seamstress and made dresses. And I became very curious about her work, and my curiosity led to her making me a purple chiffon dress that she made just to fit my perfect little four-year-old body. You know, at first it felt really exciting to have somebody telling me how wonderful and cute I was. But what I didn't realize was happening is the second grandma began to tell me how cute I looked in that purple dress, what she was really saying was that there was something radically wrong with the little boy that I really was. And so that begins this sort of creepy kind of psychological and emotional destruction that starts with inside a young boy, 4 years old, who doesn't know what the consequences are going to be about putting on a dress at 4 years old. And keeping it a secret from my parents for nearly 2 years, until I became so accustomed to wearing that purple dress that I decided to take the dress home so that I could put it on when my parents weren't watching and when I was alone, and I could sort of listen and hear those affirmations. I became sort of addicted to the affirmations and hearing her say how cute I was. So
David Benavidez versus Caleb Platt.
Whoops.
The purple dress at home, but my mom found it in my bottom dresser drawer. And she said, well, where did you get this dress? And I said, well, grandma made it. And that just blew the house up. My dad was upset. My mom was upset. It was supposed to be a secret. I broke the secret. And as a result of that, I could not go back to grandma's house without my mom or dad being with me. Dad didn't know what to do. His mother-in-law had just been cross-dressing his young boy. he was so angry at my grandmother that he took his anger out in his discipline on me, and he started hitting me with a hardwood floor plank when I would do something wrong. Sometimes he was just being way too critical, but it was that what was built up in him because of what happened to me. He did not know what to do. If you can imagine in 1946, 47, there's no information about kids wearing dresses. But the next part of the equation was his adopted brother, Uncle Fred, heard about me wearing the purple dress. And Uncle Fred decided that I was fair game to be sexually abused. Uncle Fred was not playing with a full deck of cards. And he'd get drinking a little bit, and he would come looking for me, and he would molest me. The emotional and psychological issues that I had from Grandma affirming me, I didn't really realize the consequence of those for many years. The hardwood floor plank obviously was very devastating. And then the sexual abuse was sort of the cherry on top of the cake. I was a broken child before I was 10 years old. You know, I decided that maybe I should have been a girl, not realizing that what I was trying to do was escape the abuse, not actually change who I was. But it resulted in me going through this process for many years of cross-dressing, going out in public as a female. And so I went through this with, even in my first marriage, I had two children. I was an executive for American Honda Motor Company. I worked on the Apollo space missions as an associate design engineer. But that purple dress, the hardwood floor plank, and the sexual abuse was about to take everything away. Then the next critical step was struggling with my identity. I went to a gender specialist in San Francisco who promptly identified me with gender dysphoria or gender identity disorder, and promptly told me that I needed hormones and surgery. That was the treatment that he was prescribing to help me end the cycle of distress I was having about my gender because of what happened to me as a young child. The doctor I went to, his name is Dr. Paul Walker. Dr. Paul Walker was a homosexual transgender activist. He felt his job was to do like they're doing today, is to introduce people to hormones and surgery as a process of treatment. Now, keep in mind, Dr. Paul Walker was not just your average therapist. Dr. Paul Walker was the author, the primary chairperson and author of the Harry Benjamin International Standards of Care, the very same standards of care that's being used today that's called WPATH Standards of Care. His agenda was pushing transgenderism, pushing surgery, and pushing hormones recklessly and really damaging someone's life like mine. I had kind of a devastating run of events. When I was struggling with alcoholism and drug addiction, I went into a treatment facility as Laura Jensen and came out the other side. And I went through a 2.5 session with my psychologist. And during that day, I went through all of the things that had happened, the sexual abuse, the emotional abuse, the wrong idea about going through this procedure.
Anyway, goes on and on for 4 more minutes. And anyway, he regretted it, and it cost him everything. Man, he had a tough childhood. What's that?
Kind of late for him, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a, I don't know how old he is, but he's up in age.
I see where Janice Yeltsin made mention about those at Silicon Valley Bank who had more than $250,000 in their account. They lost it. Everything over $250,000 that they will be compensated.
Yeah, I've seen that they're going to bail them out.
Well, here's the thing I got to ask the question for. The bank was discriminating because they wouldn't give loans to people unless they was indulged in green projects. If you came in and you wanted a loan and you was in the oil industry, they wouldn't give you a loan.
You're done, yeah.
So how is it that the federal government is going to support this bank and it's discriminating like that?
I don't know. Yeah, they said they went under because of all the loans to all these green initiatives, and that's why they went broke.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see the sharks? I think there were sharks that was up on the beach because of those damn whirly birds. I guess it's sending some kind of reverb in the ocean, at the bottom of the ocean, where it confuses the whales. Probably, I think those were sharks. I'm not sure. Could have been dolphins. It looked like a dolphin to me. Anyway, they were up on the shore. There was a whole bunch of them. And they were putting, you know, the ones that were alive back in the water. But they were confused. So the whales get in shallow water and they can't go anywhere. But up on the beach, they get so confused. But they won't turn those things off. They won't turn them off. You got to have that electricity, that green electricity.
Oh, you talking about the...
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah,
well. Oh, damn.
It's always something.
Yeah.
Where's Gina?
I don't know. I don't know. I talked to her yesterday. We were talking about UAW. Everybody's getting threatened.
How's Adrian? She okay?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she's doing good. Doing good now, anyway. Yeah, Adrian's all right. She definitely is all right. But everybody's getting threatened on the UAW show because the incumbent president lost.
He lost?
Yeah, he lost. Our guy got in. Yeah. You bet. Sean Fain is his name. Now he was sworn in today. Should have been sworn in 2 weeks ago, but they drugged their feet. They didn't want to lose that power. Even former presidents were telling the guy to drop out, get out. But he wouldn't do it till today. And we got a bargaining committee 2 days from now, so our man's got a lot of catching up to do.
Well, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
Think he's going to do most good?
Yeah, I think he's going to be all right. You know, he's going to try. He might be pissing up a rope, but I don't know. I hope not. But he's going to try to do something for these kids that are in there busting their butt for half the wages. That's one thing he wants to do. He wants to rectify that. At least get them more money anyway. You know, GM is making billions of dollars and have been for years. And we were supposed to get all our benefits back, but we never did.
So what's going to be done about that?
Well, you know, you got to get, if you're going to try to get back, get something, you can't get them all back at the same time. You just got to chisel away, get something. Get a promise to keep a plan open. That kind of thing. You know, they truck plant, we got three of them, Fort Wayne, Arlington, and Flint. And they're all big trucks, big ticket trucks. That's where they're making their money, is on these damn trucks. Have been for years. They have screwed up the car market. They don't even care about... When I was early on in my GM career, you know, they wanted market share was the big thing, market share. We had over 60% of the market share at one time. Now it's 18-17%, and they don't care. They said they don't care about market share anymore. Strange to me. But we did get a Chinese, what is it, cinnamon battery factory? China,
yeah,
build in Michigan.
Yep, we had an EV factory or EV battery factory.
Yeah, Virginia was gonna get it, but the governor said, "I don't want nothing." He doesn't want nothing China built in his state. Nothing. Good for him. Somebody's got to make it. What's that?
That was your governor said that, huh? I thought your governor was a female.
She is. I was just talking about the governor of Virginia. They were going to build it there, and he kiboshed it. He didn't want it. He said no. He's fed up with China. All the states should be fed up with China and letting China buy all this land, especially around our military bases. You know, we do things so backwards in this country compared to other countries. We let them come in and have a baby and automatic citizenship. Come on, Grandma, you're now in America. Get a free check. Get that free check.
Well, nobody... you know, I was having a discussion about that here the other day, that according to the Constitution, ambassador that have baby on this soil, that baby is not a U.S. citizen. And...
No anchor, huh?
No. When you read it, but also that the mother should be under the jurisdiction of the United States, but her jurisdiction is where the hell she came from. But what the problem is, you got these judges that render these damn opinions that become precedent. And these opinions that become precedent ends up becoming a second constitution. And that's there, in fact, lies the problem. It only stands for good reason that if you're in the country illegal, anything that you earn is illegal, can be subjected to forfeiture. And also, you having kids in the country, those kids are not U.S. citizens because you're not legal.
Well, that's what I would think. But that's not what they say. Now they're anchor babies, and it's bringing the whole family over here. And China was sending pregnant women over here to have their baby and get a foot in the door of America. You know.
Well, yeah, they was doing that out in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Those birthing hotels.
Yeah.
If that wasn't about the hell of a thing you ever want to see.
Oh, man. What a mess. It's so, you know, it's been a mess since I was a kid. We were trying to get this fake war with Russia since I was in kindergarten. No telling how far back before I even went to school. All I heard was they got the big bomb. Well, I guess sitting in the floor of the hallway of the school, elementary school, is going to save our life from that big bomb. I know Detroit and Flint were two of the targets. It came out years later, Flint and Detroit, because of their capabilities of building tanks and whatever. So that was two. And here we are in a proxy war with Russia. It's getting dicey, Bianchi. Getting dicey. Yeah.
I think
we conquered the world tonight, guys. No. I think we're going to have to wait till tomorrow night. Talk about the Second Amendment with Lori Ann.
Yeah, I think I'll take my gun out and be clean it.
Oh, man. Hell yeah. Did anybody listen to Trump today? He was in Waco, Texas.
I heard a little bit of it.
Not.
That was a good commemoration. That was U.S. government, Democrats, reckless killing of Americans.
Yeah.
Pelosi.
Whoa.
Schumer. Biden, Justice Department, because that's poisoning our country. I can do things with China. I made the greatest trade deal in history with China. I don't even talk about it because sometime after that, fairly shortly, what happened with COVID, it was like I didn't want to talk about a trade deal because no trade deal you make is going to ever. $50 trillion worldwide. Think of it, trillions. $50 trillion is the damage done. China doesn't have anywhere near that money. Nobody has anywhere near that money. The damage they did, so I don't talk about it. But I had a great relationship with China. We put massive tariffs. We took hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars out of China. No other president took anything out of China, not 10 cents. But the only way to stop these arsonists, and that's what they are, is arsonists. And I really do believe, and they'll go right and say, oh, Trump likes China more than he likes crazy Nancy Pelosi. But in many ways, these sick people are more of a threat because we can deal with China. I was beating China so badly, nobody's ever seen. We were lapping them. And then COVID came in. We had to go back. We did a great job. And when we unfortunately had to give up what we were doing, very sad day for everybody in this audience and for, frankly, most of the country, because we were doing so well. But the stock market was actually higher than it was just days before COVID was something that nobody ever saw came into our country. So we really rebuilt it twice. But if you go back to those earlier days, which wasn't that long ago, we had a country the likes of which nobody has ever done before. And China wasn't a threat. China was actually in deep trouble because we had all the power. We had this economic power that was used very judiciously, but we were winning and we were winning big. The problem isn't China. The problem is stupid people that have to deal with China. That's the problem. And that's what we have. And I watched Joe Biden yesterday in the halls of Parliament, Canadian Parliament, this beautiful Parliament, and there's Trudeau with his beautiful wife, and they're sitting there laughing and laughing. They think it's so great because they pulled the wool over his eyes. The deals they made for that guy, I would never have made those deals. I would never. But I watched Joe Biden say, I'd like to thank China. And he's in Canada. And he goes, oh, because they start screaming at him. The entire room starts laughing. I'd like to thank China. But
yeah.
He's in Canadian Parliament. He said, I mean Canada. The whole place was laughing. They're laughing in our country. We don't want anyone to laugh. Nobody laughed at our country when I...
And I was trying to find that tape. I did hear that. I forgot all about that. Yeah, he was... And he's in Canada talking about immigration and our border with Canada and how they're coming into our country from Canada. The dude is crazy. I'm serious.
Is anybody actually surprised that he's confused about what country he's in?
I tell you what. I mean, there's got to be a reason people elected him, even voted for him. He couldn't debate. He stayed in his house. And if you don't vote for Biden, you're not black.
Oh, yeah. But we can't talk about election fraud. We cannot be of the opinion that Biden was not elected legitimately.
No.
We can't talk about that.
No.
If we believe that, then we're just that bit crazy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Biden
because,
got
of course,
81.
We think that somebody can win the presidency by campaigning in his basement versus somebody like Trump who was actually going city after city packing the house, you know. But we're
yeah.
still supposed to believe that Biden won anyway.
Yeah, Biden
so
got more votes than Obama. Right. He got 81 million votes. Come on, folks. Oh, that's why they shut everything down. They didn't realize Trump was going to get 74 million votes. And they, we don't have enough. Oh, my God. Hold on. And they were putting boxes in Cobo Hall out of a van. And the place was supposed to be closed at 3:30 in the morning. And there's tape of that, of course. They weren't cheating. No way. There's tape everywhere of people. I don't know where it was. No, I don't remember. Or maybe you guys do. They call it a day. They stopped counting, but three people stayed. And then everybody was gone but those three people. They had a table with cloth on it. And it was kind of blocking what was underneath the table. So they went over there and started pulled boxes from underneath the table and started counting those. They found a ballot, said Biden, and it shows this gal, this woman constantly just counting that vote, just using that one ballot. It said Biden. Don't tell me. Don't nobody tell me he got 81 million. He might have won, but he sure as hell didn't get 81 million votes. And I don't think he won. And we'll see.
I agree with you on that.
We'll see what's happening in Arizona, because that might change now where they're at, where they're going to have to check those signatures. That's a Republican stronghold in Maricopa County. That's the Republican side. So we'll see. We'll definitely see. It could. I don't know if that could benefit any other races. I don't know. It might. But it's definitely going to affect the governor's race. And I don't know how they would work that if they find that Carrie Lake wins this thing. I mean, damn, what do you do? Just throw the lady out of office?
Well, you think Hobbs would have enough gumption to relinquish defeat.
Well, you know, that's not going to happen. You know, this thing will be in courts. This will go to the Supreme Court. They
it should be settled there in the state. They shouldn't have to go to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court should tell them that, look, we looked at it and we think that it should be looked at again. State of Arizona.
Yeah. Now, how much did Trump lose in Arizona?
Probably about 13,000 votes. I don't know really.
I don't remember, but 105,000 signature votes they're going to have to look at. Maybe that'll affect his race too. Who knows? Still wouldn't be enough or nothing, but you know.
Well, if he wins that state, then that's just one less that he has to go.
Yeah, that's right.
Meet the difference.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of folks, especially in New York, saying they have voters' remorse. And they didn't vote for Trump because of what how he tweeted, how he talked on TV. Yeah, he did pretty good for us, but I couldn't stand listening to him all the time. Well,
that's an ignorant voter. Because you're supposed to vote on the issues.
Yeah.
Suppose he had a handicap in his speech.
That's right.
So you want to say that he talks funny? I can't support him?
Yeah, then that's just a stupid reason not to vote for somebody.
Because of what they say. And apparently what he said was they've tried to go after him on a whole plethora of reasons.
Yeah.
Well, even Stormy Daniels was forced to pay $300,000 to him.
Yeah. You know, he's never going to get a dime from her. He doesn't probably want a dime from her. I feel sorry for her. She lost so much money to that rip-off lawyer of hers, and now he's in prison, and she got nothing out of it. All this crap, and she got nothing.
This DA in New York remind me of the circuit attorney in St. Louis, Kim Gardner.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Who the Democrats convinced her to go after the duly elected Republican governor of Missouri, Harry Grayson.
Yeah, damn.
And there were videos of him in the room with a passed out woman naked, and he was taking pictures.
Oh.
So when time came for her to show the pictures, she didn't have none.
She didn't have any.
Hell no.
Damn. It just ruined somebody's reputation.
So he ended up resigning. And now the Attorney General of Missouri is suing her to get her out of office because of malfeasance. Not malfeasance, but she's not doing her job.
Yeah.
And all the seasoned prosecutors in her office is quitting. I think she's probably down to five.
Geez, five in St. Louis?
Yeah,
County?
She's probably down to five prosecutors in her office in St. Louis.
Ooh. Oh, man. Now, that's a busy office then. Wow. Damn, five? That's something. Jesus. Well, hopefully they can get her out. All these are Soros.
Yeah, I didn't like her because of what she's done to the McCloskeys.
Yeah, exactly. She overstepped her boundaries. They finally won, but they never got their weapons back, and I don't understand that. I do not understand that.
Well, you're going to have to, I don't know who's down at the police department. I had a friend of mine was a former police officer, and he had his weapons taken. It took him a while to get them back. It's something about these people, they don't want you to have no damn weapon.
Yeah. And, you know, they can go out and buy more weapons, but it's just strange to me. They finally won, got everything overturned, and they get to keep the weapons. I don't get it. I don't know. This world is this all of a sudden is upside down. This country is just upside down. We are letting everybody take over. If you are a liberal, I'm telling you, you can get anything you want, really, without much trouble. You can go to a bank, get a loan. You can go into a 7-Eleven and get your 12-pack or a case of beer and walk out the door. Just walk out the door.
Yeah, you got to pay a dime.
Yeah. And then take the empties back and get $2.40 for it. Yeah.
If you look like you need what you stole, the police will let you go. So what you do, you put your, you switch your shoes, put your left shoe on your right foot and right shoe on your left foot.
Yeah, that
and
would do
be convincing
it.
Enough.
It should be. It should. It should be. I got to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we have laws making drinking alcohol illegal until you're 21. You know, it's just going to be allowed for people to walk in, steal whatever booze that they want and walk out and not pay for it. Because in addition to not paying for it, how many of these people are teenagers that shouldn't be drinking in the first place? Don't you love it?
Yeah, yeah. They look pretty young. They do look young. I don't know where they were ripping. They were ripping these bottles off the shelf, all these whiskeys, and putting them in duffel bags. Yeah, they just walked out the door. Nobody tried to stop them. I guess beauty products are a big seller on eBay, because I'm telling you, they just wipe out shelves of that stuff and put them in duffel bags, backpacks.
That's because the stuff is so freaking expensive.
I guess.
I was just going to say the same thing. Have you looked at the cost of this stuff? I mean, my God.
No, I don't know.
It's out of control. And we get paid 70 cents on the dollar compared to men. But we've got to pay for all this extra beauty crap.
Here we go. I stopped wearing that stuff, what, Cinnamon, about 15 years ago. I don't wear makeup. No, I don't know how much it went up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, I was, you know, I hardly ever wear makeup, but, you know, I finally had to buy some last fall. You know, because I was going to be doing job interviews, and my makeup was so old, it was like 3 years old, because I hardly ever wear it, but for job interviews. Yeah. And I'm like, holy shit, like, just to get the basic stuff, it's crazy. Some liquid foundation, some eyeshadow, some blush, some mascara, and I'm like, this is like $60, you know, just for this crap. It's absolutely appalling.
I'm glad Cinnamon doesn't wear that stuff. She doesn't have to wear it. She's lucky, one of the lucky ones.
Oh yeah.
I seen your picture, Lorianne. You don't need it either. What the hell's wrong with you girls? Crazy. You don't need that. You look good enough. Take me as I am, baby.
Yeah, that's true. But for a job interview, I guess, you know,
yeah,
got to make the effort, right?
Well, I guess.
I'd love to do a job interview and actually get the job if I was just plain Jane, not wearing any fancy clothes, just, you know, T-shirt and comfy pants.
Yeah. Yes.
I actually get the job.
Yeah, like you just came off the street, right? I've got that tent right outside your door. You want to hire me? I take my tent down.
Yeah, no doubt.
Anyhow, I stopped that conversation.
I'm just in my tent stealing my neighbor's Wi-Fi to do my Zoom call with you.
Did you see those kids going to that Apple store? You know how they got the phones connected to a cord and you can't, you know, take it, but you can pick it up and look at it, you know, but you can't walk off with it. These kids came in there and started ripping these damn phones right off the table, man. They were going to town. Their little hands were just moving. And they got every one of them. And nobody did
anything. I remember the days when I could walk into a phone store and check out a phone and not have it secured, you know, like that, where it wasn't a big deal. Like, I didn't realize that those days are gone already.
Oh, yeah. Those have been gone. Been gone a long time. They were closing up, what was it? In Portland. They were closing up something. All of the
Cracker
stores.
Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, with Cracker
Barrel. Cracker Barrel. Yeah,
that's
they're
right.
They're closing the Cracker Barrels, and then they closed the two remaining Walmarts in the Portland, in actual Portland city limits as well.
Jesus. I mean, people got to wake
up. One of the
pharmacies
went out also, and I can't remember which one. I want to say it was CVS, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think it was CVS as well. I mean, they're hightailing it out of Portland for a reason, and good reason.
And, well,
you know, if you're a business
owner,
too much
money.
Just can't afford. Yeah, you just can't afford it.
No. Hell no.
And when an insurance company won't insure you anymore.
The homeless sleeping right out there on the sidewalk, so customers can't even get in or even don't even want to come in because of it. I mean, you're really, really stupid if you're going to open up a new business in Portland right now.
And people better, you know, should wake up and say, look at the city council and the mayor. What the hell are they doing chasing out all these damn jobs? All these jobs.
And taxes.
Yeah, yeah. Revenue really goes down when you lose that many businesses. Damn. That's a big deal. Yes, sirree de dee dee. It was Cracker Barrel. I don't know how many they had. It didn't say. But they had more than one.
Yeah, I didn't get the numbers of how many stores they're actually closing either. I'd have to go back into my memory bank to look it up. But I'm eating right now, so I'm not going to.
You don't have to. Just know enough that they are closing. Simple as that.
Was that the story in Portland that you were trying to remember earlier, or was it a different one?
No, that was it. That was it. Yeah, sure was.
Julian Assange's father and brother made a documentary.
Oh, did they?
And it came out this week. Pretty much, it's called Ithaca, but it's pretty much, you know,
sure.
We need to free Julian Assange. And
absolutely we should. Oh, where's that at anyway? Where can you get it?
It was opening in certain markets. The New York Times kind of spammed it. And then I think it was Boston Herald. Both of them said that it doesn't do much to make his case. It just pretty much says, you know, we have to do this for journalistic freedom, and doesn't put down all of the, it makes references to the government's doing, you know, kind of hinky stuff, but doesn't bring any proof or anything.
They don't need proof. All they have to don't know is Julian has been in prison, really in prison for how many, a decade.
I think it's, yeah, he's been in prison itself for 4 years.
Well,
but this
I'm
has been going on since
house arrest.
2010, I think.
Oh, house arrest, I'd count.
Yeah.
He can't go anywhere.
I'm looking at when he went in to. Yeah, it was 2010 when he published the classified documents that were leaked by the former U.S. Army soldier Chelsea Manning.
That's right. Now,
Chelsea Manning is,
Chelsea,
you know, did her little time in prison and is out.
Right.
But him, they're looking at doing, they're doing him for they're charging him with espionage, and so he would be a mandatory 175 years.
Yeah, ain't that a bunch of bullshit?
Yeah, so they're
curious.
You know.
That is BS. Just BS. And while Chelsea,
another thing I wouldn't want to be.
When Chelsea was in prison, in military, he turned into a girl, a woman.
Yeah.
While he was in prison, and he got a pardon.
Everybody knows.
Well, I don't know if everybody knows.
Okay.
If
I'm
he, well, I don't know. Come on. I got something to say. Let me say it.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't have nothing to say now. You done took it away from me. You know, well, anyway. Yeah.
They're calling her an American activist and whistleblower.
Yeah. Well, she ran for Congress somewhere. I think it was Pennsylvania, but I'm not sure. It's been a while.
I do remember that.
Well, it's been so many people shot in Chicago.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Get ready for big numbers.
Egg is right at 3,000. 290 days.
Here we are in March. That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. God. I mean, that's
This is counting from last Labor Day, May. I go from May to May. Plus, if you go from January to December, the papers jack around with the numbers.
Yeah, they do.
You should try to.
Wow. So go ahead.
One of the newspapers was saying that New Orleans became the murder capital.
No, it ain't that many.
Last year.
What was it now?
They were saying New Orleans was...
They're saying there's a big problem in New Orleans, but God, I don't think they were leaving.
In Chicago, last year they had 4,666 blacks shot by other blacks in 364 days.
Jesus.
And they had 643 killed in that time. Year before that, they had 4,845 shot with 745 murders. In those in the last 3 years, no white police have shot anybody. Matter of fact, I had some police killed themselves.
Jesus. I tell you, Bianchi, that Chicago
that is totally, totally ridiculous.
Yeah. That's
and
a
these
war
blacks
zone.
Killing and shooting each other.
Yeah.
Don't hear nothing.
Black on black.
Al Sharpton go down to Tallahassee and march against DeSantis, whereas in Chicago, you got 50 high schools where none of the students are reading at level. None. 50 high schools. So he's down there bitching, talking about DeSantis is trying to prevent blacks from studying black history in the school district, in the school system in Florida. Well, mm-hmm. hell, they can't read. So how are they going to study? With Braille?
Damn. I know, and you're right. Yeah.
These arguments are starting to back up like a traffic jam. And when people hear that mess, and if they was to challenge them correctly, they would have to put their hands in their pocket and go home.
Yeah. Yes. Dursa Rich said that the left will destroy the Constitution to prevent Trump from running for president. You know, destroy the Constitution. Just
well, to destroy the Constitution, all bets are off, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It'd be like going to Mars. You shoot somebody on Mars, there's no laws up there to punish you.
Yeah.
Same thing you do with the Constitution. Everything's done. Everybody in prison, they're going to let out. All them criminals. And they're going to come out looking like zombies, walking around acting like zombies.
Yeah. Here's a... Alan
Dershowitz, formerly of Harvard, author of Get Trump, The Threat to Civil Liberties, Due Process, and Our Constitutional Rule of Law. Alan Dershowitz joins us tonight. Professor, thank you so much for coming on. And with that introduction, I do think you're a credible assessor of the case against the Republican frontrunner in New York. What do you make of it?
Well, first of all, I just got a tweet or a note from Donald Trump himself in which he endorsed my book, urges everybody to read it, but he says, Alan enjoys saying, I didn't vote for Trump. I believe he probably did. He just uses that phrase for added credibility, but it doesn't matter. He's a brilliant guy, and you should read his book. No, I didn't. I never mixed politics and my constitutional analysis. Get Trump is a book about lying. It's all about lying. It's about the four lies that have resulted in four investigations, including doctoring a tape, which is, of course, what the January 6th committee did when it left out the words peacefully and patriotically. It's about Michael Cohen, who may be the world's biggest liar. He gets all the Pinocchios. And the district attorney is making a very hard decision now. Does he put his bar at risk, his bar certificate at risk, by putting on the stand a man he knows is going to lie in violation of the rules of ethics? So it's all about lying. My book, Get Trump, documents lie after lie. The left, the so-called liberals, they're not liberals, they're radicals, will do anything, stretch the Constitution, destroy the Constitution to prevent Trump from running for president.
And it's degrading to our country and to all of us. I appreciate your writing this book. I know you've paid quite a personal cost for saying things like this. And we appreciate your coming on. Alan Dershowitz, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. Yeah, if they destroy the Constitution, all bets are off. Take to the streets, man.
Well, it could be argued it's already been destroyed.
you know, or at least most of it. They're going to attack what little of it is left. It's completely ignored. I think that, you know, our Constitution has been and probably is just nothing more than a historical document at this point.
Right.
You know, to keep under glass and under security because it's just a historical document that nobody cares about anymore and they're not going to abide by it anymore. And when the President of the United States himself goes up and makes executive order after executive order because he doesn't have the support for something in Congress, that's a sign right there. Bypass our Constitution because Congress is what is supposed to be making law. And if he doesn't have the support of Congress, then the president will just do an executive order to bypass it. It happens all the time. And so here we are. And, you know, that's the sad thing about it. If we actually adhered to our Constitution the way we're supposed to, things would be a lot different, very much different, and different in a lot of very good ways, ways that we need to take back again. I think that I've read, I'll have to try to find it, but I think they're trying to attack the part of the Constitution that talks about having a convention of states.
Yeah.
That they're trying to attack that next and enact laws to invalidate a convention of states.
Well, they sure don't want that. They don't want that to happen. No. They don't want
that. You got an organization out there. I can't think of the name of it. I've got several organizations, really.
Hmm.
And Soros.
Oh, yeah.
That's trying to stop a convention of states.
Yeah, he certainly doesn't want it. Oh, man, he doesn't want it. Heck, that could really hurt him.
And the second part of Article 5 says Congress shall call a convention for the states. If the Congress don't call, the states call it, I would say. And go on and do their business. Then three quarters of the states vote on it, on each proposal. Each delegate of a state goes there, can only bring up what the whole thing is about. If it's about term limits, if it's about the debt, and one other I can't think of. That's what they discuss. That's it. Then, of course, you can have another one later on, the very next day. I think the Second Amendment should be better defined myself. Because
better
these damn, this agency, the AFT, they take that and they make of it whatever the hell they want. Courts make of it whatever the hell they want. It's a bunch of bull crap.
You know, we talked about that man that was nominated for the FAA that couldn't answer any questions at all, didn't know anything about, well, he's there. They got him in.
He got there because of the color of his skin.
I don't know why, but he has to have something on the ball. But he sure didn't answer any questions. None
don't have
all.
No pilot certificate.
No.
That's the damn Biden administration. They putting people in office because they're black.
Oh, he's got a lot of, he put a lot of judges on the bench that they're terrible. I mean, they're so biased, terrible. And all of them lying to Congress. Oh, yeah, I follow the law. Well, here's what you said about this, you know, they hate Republicans. They hate Trump. They think Trump supporters should be put in jail. One of them said, Jesus, really? And you're going to be a judge? Of course. They confirm. Democrats confirm everybody. Climate change, biggest problem facing the world. Bullshit. I don't believe that for one second. Not for one second.
I know. Like, I don't even remember a time now. I'm going to be turning 50 on Thursday. And I honestly do not remember a time where it wasn't climate change or it was global warming or global freezing or, you know, whatever it is. It's been a constant and consistent scare tactic my entire life of almost 50 years that I can remember.
There you go.
I don't, honestly, do you remember a time when it wasn't, you know, climate catastrophe?
I never even heard of it.
Acid rain.
So
acid rain.
Yeah, we're supposed to be in a ice age.
I will jump on board with this whole climate change thing, and we've got to do something drastic. It's the end of the world as we know it coming up very soon. If and when they turn around and stop China.
Yeah, or in India. Don't forget India. They're right there, too. But they just don't get talked about because they're not trying to take over the world like China is. China's buying land in every country. Hello.
And the other big one is the cryptocurrency that, we need to, I mean, that's a world thing. We need to get on board with this cryptocurrency thing. Do you know how much energy is used just to hold an account? So,
that's what the Silicon Bank thing was about. What did they call that? What's the name? Obama started. I can't think of the name of it. Help me, Laurie. Help me.
Solyndra.
No, that wasn't it. We're talking about crypto.
Oh, crypto. I'm gone.
I can't think of the name. Yeah,
I'm not thinking of it either.
It's what they was doing to Bitcoin. And the program, a policy that he puts in place, it had the one, and what's happened just with this bank is 2.0. He's put, I can't think of the name of the policy, but it'll come to me in a minute. It's basically what they're trying to do is kill crypto. What they've done is they're getting these smaller banks to go out of business and allowing the larger banks, your Chase and so on, to take control. I'll find it.
I did read that that's kind of like that's the natural result. And of course, I just saw today an article stating that due to the bank failures, that now there's like a huge dip in people putting their money into smaller banks. So it's having the desired effect, essentially, is people are pulling their money out of their smaller banks and putting it into these big mega banks. But that was by design. That's what they wanted, you know. The cabal does not want tiny, you know, smaller, independent, well-run banks, right? The bigger the bank, the better in their mind. So much easier to launder money with that way, I guess, apparently, because they're so big they can't fail, right? So you're starting to see these downward spiral effects. And yeah, with cryptocurrency, that's the next thing. They want to obviously get rid of cash. They've wanted to do that for a long time. The FTX failure is like jumping at the opportunity to usher in digital currency and create mistrust for things like this Bitcoin and stuff. I mean, all these things, you know, just fit in so perfectly with the agenda that they have that it doesn't surprise me when this stuff happens and it's used to get the desired result, which I believe the desired result was already in the, you know, works to begin with. I think there's more, a hell of a lot more planning going on with the stuff that's happening than people will really realize. It's like, it didn't happen by accident. You know?
Okay. Lost Lori. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm there. I just stopped talking.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to try to
give
somebody else
a chance. It was a broad end. I thought Blog Talk had did it again and knocked us off.
Nope, I'm still here.
And it's the ultra-rich that are slamming the gong the most about, and, you know, this big environmental thing. Stop. Okay, Don just popped in. Al Gore made over $330 million. Anyway, if they're serious about this kind of stuff, then instead of just turning around and lecturing about us and do as I say, not as I do kind of crap, then I would believe them more. I mean, one thing about that girl. Oh, what is her name?
Greta.
Yeah, the Greta. I mean, she's got her convictions right, and she sticks with them. She takes the train when she can take the train. And one time she was going to speak someplace, she rode on a ship. She was not going to fly in an airplane because of it. I mean, she sticks to her convictions. Where the rest of them are pretty much talking out the other side of their face. So I'll believe it a lot more when, like I said, when I see they clamp down on China. India is kind of, I don't know, is such a different kind of country because, you know, it's not communist, but they have the big difference in classes. So you've got the ones that are supremely poor and then the other ones that are well off. So I don't know about India. But nobody's using any of the extra money to try and help the second world economies to come up and start doing the things the right way. So until they start actually, you know, walking the walk, I'm just not going to believe their talk.
Exactly. You know what? Maybe I will get on board with some of this, you know, electric vehicle, blah, 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 when the Air Force One is actually redesigned to be electric. When Air Force One is no longer reliant on gas and oil and is all environmentally friendly and made out of hemp to make the plane out of hemp instead of metal, right?
Yeah.
Because they've done that. They've done it with cars. They've done it with airplanes, too. You know, utilizing as many bio-friendly alternatives as possible to completely make a brand new Air Force One. When they do that, then maybe I'll get on board.
Yeah, I'm done.
It's called a choke point. I sent the email to Donnie. Choke point
okay.
2.
All right. Let me get my mail. My mail didn't go off for some reason.
Man, these people are evil. Evil, evil, evil.
And I'm not saying some of this. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Piyaki.
Well, I'm just going to say real fast is that the reason they get away with so much is because people are so ignorant. They're just academically ignorant.
Now let's go over.
They're not taught. Go ahead, son.
I was going to say, I do believe that, you know, our climate is changing. And, yeah, some of it's down to us, but not all of it. And we are not at disaster point right now, or they would be doing something else major besides banging the drum and looking to raise money.
I don't believe any of it. Not one bit.
No, they keep saying plastic is so horrible, and but we all have to recycle. But then they don't have a way to recycle the plastic. And what happens to it? We ship it out to a third world country, and they get a monsoon, it all washes out into the damn oceans. I mean, come on. Again, you gotta walk the walk if you're gonna talk the talk.
Well, let me play what Bianchi sent me.
And more evidence is mounting that the collapse of SVB, Signature, and Silvergate was in fact a targeted assassination on crypto. Now let's go over the evidence. Starting off back on March 9th, four U.S. senators wrote a letter to the bank regulators accusing them of attempting to debank America. The four senators were Bill Hagerty from Tennessee, Mike Crapo from Idaho, Tom Tillis from North Carolina, and Steve Daines from Kansas. Now, let me read to you some of what their letter says. They say here in this, this letter was written to the Federal Reserve, the FDIC, and the OCC, collectively the banking regulators. They say the banking regulators and the White House have released several statements calling on heightened supervision for crypto-related activities. These releases have caused banks to reevaluate their decision to provide banking services to the crypto sector, resulting in crypto firms' bank accounts being unexpectedly closed. This coordinated behavior seems disturbingly reminiscent of Operation Choke Point, which, as you know, was an Obama administration initiative where federal regulators applied pressure on financial institutions to cut off financial services to certain licensed, legally operating industries simply because certain regulators and policymakers disfavored those industries. Legal investigation found that government officials illegally targeted lawful businesses in an ideological crusade based on personal disdain. They later go on to say, it appears that the desired outcome from the banking regulators is similar to that of Operation Choke Point, the debanking of the crypto industry in America. We are especially worried that overreaching behavior by the banking regulators will inevitably bleed into other legal industries. Any industry could be potentially disfavored based on a given regulator's ideological perspective. So they wrote this on March 9th saying, we believe that this is Operation Choke Point 2.0, essentially reminiscent of Operation Choke Point. So that's the first piece of evidence that this, in fact, was a targeted assassination, that these bank collapses were a targeted assassination, that they were not about deregulation and banks being crooked and corrupt and them going and trying to, you know, help themselves out. That this was a targeted assassination on crypto. Now, on March 9th, just a few days ago, the Wall Street Journal editorial board confirmed it was crypto. They wrote an op-ed entitled, Barney Frank Was Right About Signature Bank. And the first line in their op-ed, we never thought we'd write that headline. They go on to say in their op-ed, but on Sunday, the Federal Insurance Corporation, now this is this last Sunday, okay, this is recent, but on Sunday, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation announced that New York Community Bancorp's Flagstar Bank will assume all of Signature Bank's cash deposits except for those of crypto companies. This confirms Mr. Frank's suspicions and ours that Signature's seizure was motivated by regulators' hostility towards crypto. And that they go on to detail even more of the deal between Flagstar Bank's bid, which did not include the approximately $4 billion of deposits related to the former Signature Bank's digital asset banking business. And by the way, similar restrictions have been put on SVB. Now, many in the crypto world were aware of the war against them and had been talking about it for quite some time before those of us on the outside even took notice. Here's a well-known crypto enthusiast and commentator, Coin Bureau, talking about Operation Choke Point 2.0 back in early February, which, by the way, this was written off by many as a conspiracy theory. Here it is.
The U.S. government is at war with the crypto industry, and it is employing a sneaky new tactic to try and bring it down. It's become increasingly apparent over the last few months that the U.S. administration, along with various other arms of the state, such as the Federal Reserve and the Justice Department, are targeting any banks that work with crypto companies, basically trying to cut crypto out of banking services. Over the last few months, they have been making life increasingly difficult for any banks that work alongside crypto companies, doing things like launching investigations into their activities and also denying these banks key licenses that they need to operate. Now, this looks to be a resurrection of something called Operation Choke Point, which was a scheme launched back in the Obama era that aimed to try and cut industries that the government didn't like out of the banking sector. These included things like online poker and also payday lenders. It basically used the same tactic we're seeing here, lock them out of banking services and make it as difficult as possible for these industries to operate. And now they are using this turn their focus onto crypto. This is basically just a stealthy way of cutting off oxygen to the crypto industry without having to go to all the expense and bother of legislating against it specifically. Now, Operation Choke Point was shut down under President Trump, but it looks like it is being resurrected in some way in order to go after the crypto industry. Now, what does this mean? Well, it means that it's going to become increasingly difficult for crypto companies to operate inside the United States. Now, although this isn't great news for crypto, it isn't terminal either, because fortunately, lots of other countries and jurisdictions are drafting sensible-sounding regulations that will make it possible for the crypto industry to operate in those areas. However, it looks like the United States is only becoming increasingly more unfriendly to the crypto industry. And let's face it, even though crypto is designed to eventually replace the existing financial system, for now, it really needs to be able to work with the banking sector.
There you have it. People have been screaming about Operation Choke Point 2.0 for a while, those in the crypto community, but that word had not really leaked out much. And when it did, people said that's just a big conspiracy theory. Yet here we are today. What Coin Bureau said absolutely happened. It happened in front of our faces with U.S. senators screaming about it, saying, we see this is happening, with people in the crypto community saying, we see this is happening. And here it is. It has happened. And people are still turning a blind eye to this targeting. This is a mechanism for control. If they can control your money, they can control you. And that is what they're trying to do. They're trying to consolidate all of the power to the top at the Federal Reserve so that they could control the dollar. They're trying to shore up the dollar. They're trying to ensure, as they see, as we've had guests on this show, like Ed Dowd, when he was talking about, look, the banking system is set up and it's just doomed to fail the way that it was set up from the beginning. It was bound to ultimately at some point collapse, and they see it collapsing. And so what they're trying to do is control that collapse. They're trying to ensure that those who are the power players remain the power players when the whole thing comes crumbling down and they have to rebuild it from scratch. So they're scrambling. They're scrambling to save it. They're scrambling to consolidate that power to the top. They want to control the dollar. That is what they're trying to do. They're trying to shore up the global currency, the global value of the dollar, and they're trying to ensure that they can roll out these CBDCs. That is part of it. And getting in the way of those CBDCs has been the crypto community. So more evidence of this, what we've been talking about on this show, that other shows have been talking about, the deregulation, they've been talking about the, this is just a bailout for the banks. But we have been talking about, no, this is a concerted effort to control the money in America, to control the global money supply, in fact. And here's some more evidence to that. We've seen now that all of these small banks are now losing loads of cash. $1 trillion in deposits have been run out of the small banks in America. And they were saying this has happened. The majority of the outflows have happened since March, since the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. more and more small banks have lost depositors. They're running to the large banks. They're saying, whoa, I don't trust you. I'm not sure. I need to go to a too big to fail bank. One of the Fed banks, Chase, right? That's a.
Oh my God. She's like reiterating what I just said.
The Chase and Citi are the largest.
She sure is.
They're the largest shareholders of the New York Fed, which is basically the Federal Reserve. Now, also, we see, so you've got all these banks in crises, right? And we've been saying that the goal is to consolidate all the small banks into the large banks. We heard this from Richard Werner, a brilliant economist who was on this show, saying that is the ultimate goal, is they want to collapse all the small banks, the community banks. They want to consolidate them all to the biggest banks. That way they can control the money supply completely. And they can roll out the CBDCs. And if you get everybody's money into the same place, then it's a lot easier to start controlling it. It's a lot easier to roll out those CBDCs. So all of the little banks are now in trouble. You see $1 trillion leaving those little banks. It's a run on the little banks. And what does the Fed do? What did the Fed do this week? What did they do? They raised interest rates again by a quarter point. Why would they do that? If the banks are already stressed, and they're already stressed to the max where they're about to collapse, why would you then stress them even a little bit more? In fact, if the Fed really wanted to help out those small banks, you know what they would have done? They would have cut the interest rate. They would have cut it by a quarter point, or they would have at least done nothing. They would have announced nothing. Instead, they're squeezing the little guy even more.